This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Everyone, it's that time when the best show returns to make you happy. And there's the crack of the Coors Light, and the show has officially begun. It's like breaking a bottle of champagne on the side of it's christening. The show has been christened. We got an exciting show for you tonight. We got Jake Fogelnest will be in studio. The topic, worst celebrity iPod. The hashtag for that is worst celebrity iPod. The phone number, 201-332-3484. I want to hear your worst celebrity iPod, and you got to give me examples. But right now, it is time for you to listen to this. Back again. right. All right. All right. All right. All right. What if I just said all right for 2.5 hours? No. There's plenty of show to go. What's up, guys? It's the best show. Best show's here. Got an exciting show planned for you tonight. My name's Tom Sharpling. I'm the host of the show. Got the usual crew here. AP Mike, how are you? You doing all right? How's this sound? Great. Oh, this guy's so lifeless. First thing he does is come and starts bad-mouthing John Wick. First thing he does. Unbelievable. Top 15 movies of all time. This guy. Can't be, he didn't like it. I think you liked it. He didn't love it. I thought you'd be proud. He's from New Jersey. What about a John Wick Sopranos crossover? Right? Who's this goon in the chat? John Wick was terrible. What? I don't even know who that is. Frankenbeats. Your name is terrible. I don't even know what that means. Frankenbeats? Frankenbeans? Like a play on that? I don't know. How dare you? Thumbs down to all of you. Yeah, just picture. John Wick killing kill Paulie Walnuts, right? He'd end The Sopranos in like 3 episodes. It would be over. Phil Leotardo wouldn't take 2 years to get that guy out of the picture. The truck rolling backwards. Fast. John Wick, we'd have time. They just tell it to switch over to something else. And that concludes The Sopranos. There are no Sopranos left. John Wick killed all of them. Oh, what music did we hear, guys? Let's not fight. Let's not fight about whether John Wick was a great movie or a masterpiece. Let's not fight. We heard Timmy's Organism from this amazing 2 LP collection on Hozak entitled it's the Singles Collection and Unreleased Tracks. That's what it's called. Singles Collection and Unreleased Tracks. And we heard I'm on a Hunt. It's such a great record. Love it. Before that, Michael Cronin. Shaping up. It's the top album of the year, man. So far. That's running hot. It's way up there. Michael Cronin, Gold. From his upcoming album, MC3. Comes out early May. You're getting sneak peeks of it here. But look. That's why you gotta listen to the best show, man. That's our sneak peeks. Well, we're not giving you a sneak of Age of Ultron. We don't got that. We got Michael Cronin sneak listens. Mike asked me the other day if I want to see Paul Blart, and I was like, I can't. I wish I could. I would have gone. Did you see it? No, you did. I knew you. Did you really want to see it? Yeah, that would have been fun. I wish I could have that day. I was locked in, man. Starting us off, a 7-inch on the Flannel Graph record label. Muro, M-U-R-O. As Long As I've Got You. Was this a Record Store Day piece? I don't know. It just came out. Limited edition single, really great. Flannel Graph put out an album, I believe, by Don Muro. And this single was unreleased from 1974. Out of the Vault and Into Your Heart. Don Mura. Flannel Graph Records, they put out a Rock, Rot, and Rule album. They put that out on vinyl, the LP. Gotta love it. Gotta love it, man. A lot of great rock. You hear that great rock here on The Best Show. The topic for tonight, though. It's the topic that everyone can't stop talking about. Who has the worst celebrity iPod? Which celebrity is responsible? Which iPod would you just be skin-crawlingly bad to check out? We'll get into that in a matter of moments, but and the phone number is 201-332-3484. I do want to let you know we did the top 100 fictional characters of all time. We did that a couple weeks ago. Mike handed me his top 100 fictional characters of all time list. And I've not looked at the whole thing. What I looked at, I was like, oh, this is... It's a great list. I'm going to read it. Can I read it, Mike? Okay, well, I'll read it from the Friends of Tom message board over at friendsoftom.com. Let's do that. I wouldn't want to read a out of date one. I want to give you the official one. Because I did my list, and that's over up. That's up at thebestshow.net. It's the most recent list up there, guys. Yes, you can check that out. What's that? Oh, Jason, the dude who built the studio, the Dudio, again. That nickname, which he has forced upon all of us. I just read some. It's testing. It's got lower approval ratings than Congress. It was coming in below Robert Blake, in terms of just like approval ratings. It's not going to stick, Jason. Keep trying. Try as you may. Try as you might. The name, nickname Dudio is not, what, not out of sight? I don't know. What am I, J.J. Walker all of a sudden? All right, here's this list. This AP Mike's list of his top 100 fictional characters of all time. And look, his list, you might like his better than mine. His is definitely more highbrow in a lot of ways. He's got books in here. But he's also got some weird ones in here, too. It's a good list. All right, let's see. Otis Campbell from Andy Griffith. Carol Trainor from Maude. Uncle Joe Grandy from Touch of Evil. Gigantor, Billy Jack. Reverend Jim from Taxi, the Great Gazoo from the Flintstones, terrible, one of the worst characters of all time. Luke from Cool Hand Luke, Jeffrey Furman from Under the Volcano, Wharf Rat from the Grateful Dead song, is that from the song of the same name? Okay, and then back to back with Bertha from the Grateful Dead song, Bertha. Harry, the guy with the snake on his face. John Candy's character. Number 88, Captain Kangaroo. Number 87, Bart Simpson. Number 86, Bernie Wooster from the P.G. Wodehouse? Is that how you say it? Woodhouse. I have a book you gave me of that stuff sitting on my shelf right next to all the other books I haven't read. I do want to read it, though. And then 85, Reginald Jeeves. Then we have Laurel from Laurel and Hardy. 83, Jeff Lebowski, Curly from the Three Stooges, Reed Rothschild from Boogie Nights, Fred Sanford from Sanford and Son, that's a great one, Alexander Portnoy from Portnoy's Complaint, apparently that's some sort of book or something, right? Alex from A Clockwork Orange, R.P. McMurphy from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Haven Hamilton from Nashville, Constance Miller from McCabe and Mrs. Miller, then you've got John McCabe from McCabe and Mrs. Miller. He did these in batches. That's the one thing I'm going to say about Mike's list. They're in batches. That's not how the charts work, Mike. It's got a, but the, there's a ton of great choices here. We got Sammy Maudlin, Bobby Bittman, Johnny LaRue, all from SCTV. Vladimir and Estragon from Waiting for Godot, another book or a play. I don't know. What is that? Huckleberry Finn from The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. Nick Adams, is that an Ernest Hemingway character? From which one? Uh-huh. A bunch of Ernest Hemingway short stories. Nick and Nora Charles, the Thin Man characters. Philip Marlowe. Bugs Bunny. Job from the Book of Job. J.J. Evans from Good Times. There we go. I just mentioned him. The second time he got mentioned tonight. His ears must be burning. At the Arthur Treacher's he's performing at tonight. Let's see. Edna Pontier from The Awakening. Anna Karenina from the book of the same name. Emma Bovary from Madame Bovary. Clyde Griffiths from An American Tragedy. Al Swearengen from Deadwood. That's a good one. Joe Camel, the late lamented or unlamented cigarette smoking camel. Adina Monsoon from Absolutely Fabulous, and then Patsy Stone, also from Absolutely Fabulous. Sancho Panza from Don Quixote. Bob Slocum from Something Happened. Gregor Samsa from The Metamorphosis. Captain Ahab. Ben from Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore. Is that Harvey Keitel's character? Yeah, one of the worst, most menacing characters in history. Harvey Keitel in Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore. Sport from Taxi Driver, Lady Macbeth, Othello, Hamlet, King Lear, Sir John Falstaff, and then at number 43, GTO from Tulane Blacktop, 42, Tony Soprano, Olivia Soprano, Paulie Walnuts, Junior Soprano, then Nicola from Life is Sweet, David Brent from The Office, Alan Partridge at 36, Larry on Curb Your Enthusiasm, Kramer, Ted Baxter, John Self from the Martin Amis book Money, Henry Rabbit Angstrom from all the John Updike Rabbit novels, Austin Popper from Masters of Atlantis, the Charles Portis novel, Maggie Pollitt from Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, Hickey from Iceman Cometh, Ratso Rizzo, Augie March, E.B. Farnham from Deadwood, Martha from Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, Willie Loman, Mary Cavan Tyrone from Long Day's Journey into Night, Oma from Fat City, Blanche DuBois from A Streetcar Named Desire, Sweetie from Sweetie, Kilgore Trout from Breakfast of Champions, and here we go. Here's the block, the power block right now. 17, The Pimps from Strozek. Number 16, Shites from Strozek. Number 15, Ava from Strozek. Number 14, Bruno from Strozek. So there's the Strozek four four corners right there. The tic-tac-toe chicken almost made it. Bubbling under. The Hitchhiker from Five Easy Pieces. The Counselor at number 12 from The Counselor. Mr. Jimmy from the Rolling Stones song, You Can't Always Get What You Want. Garland, the Mariette Mangler Green from Con Air at number 10. Goofus from Goofus and Gallant. Great one. The Freaks from the movie Freaks. And the Baby from Eraserhead. Come on, Mike. Martin Short as the kid from Deliverance on SCTV. That's a fantastic one. Then the kid from Deliverance. Nice back-to-back punch there. The little guy from the Island of Dr. Moreau remake. Johnny from Naked at number 3. And then the lead character from Jesus' Son. I know Mike was giggling to himself, hoping I'd slip up and read his actual name, character name on the air. And at number 1, the guy who screams when Phil Leotardo's head gets squished in The Sopranos at the top of the list. Great list, Mike. Great list. I love it. All right. Enough of that. My friends, spring is here. And the wait is finally over. What wait? The wait for baseball season. It's over. It's here. Everyone's going to baseball games now, and they're watching the games with their hats and their pretzels and Cracker Jacks and having a grand old time at the ball game. And the excitement of baseball continues over at DraftKings.com, the official daily fantasy partner of Major League Baseball. And daily fantasy is the way to go. No season-long commitments, just instant cash and instant gratification. You don't have to wait all the way to the end of the season to claim victory when you can win huge every day. You know I love fantasy sports. I just concluded my fantasy basketball league, and I lost in the finals. Came in second for the second year in a row. Came in second, but I tell you, I love it. It's so much fun. I just do it for the glory. If there's money at stake, man, I would have cleaned up coming in second. I wouldn't have flushed 6 months of my life down the turlet in the process. I could have gotten rich, moved on. But it's a new season every day, and every time you play over at DraftKings.com, you just select 2 pitchers, 8 position players, stay under the salary cap, and you could be on your way to an enormous payday. Like last year, Peter from Colorado won $1 million at DraftKings.com in one day just playing fantasy baseball. That could be you. So hurry over to DraftKings.com and enter promo code BEST to play for free. You could win part of the $300 million in prizes being awarded this season. DraftKings.com, promo code BEST for free entry right now. At DraftKings.com, 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 promo code BEST. Let's take a couple calls and then we'll bring our guest, Jake Fogelnest, into the studio. Got him here. It's very exciting. Last week, Julie Klausner was here. This week, Jake Fogelnest. Best show. Bringing out the heavy hitters now. Bringing them out. Who's good here, Mike? One. Best show, you are on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, who's this?
This is Geneva.
Geneva! Speaking of heavy hitters.
No. Not anymore.
No. I don't know.
You can't imagine how many people are booing their computer screen right now.
Oh, stop. People are cheering coast to coast.
Well, I hope so. how are you?
I'm good.
Well, I was calling because I saw something that kind of caught my eye and thought you might be interested in. I'm not sure. There's something going on in your neck of the woods at the Brooklyn Bowl that I saw recently. And there's the topic of Billy Joel comes up a lot on the show.
Yes.
And it looks like next month, Gene Ween of the band Ween, W-E-E-N, is going to be doing a tribute show to Billy Joel.
Well, that's exciting.
And it seems kind of interesting. Can I read you the description of it?
Yes, please.
It says, Gene Ween explores his deep and abiding man love for the music of Billy Joel, backed by a 7-piece band of fellow Joelophiles, Jean tears through the hits, and only the hits, from the man from Oyster Bay.
All right, and he's paying tribute. He's paying tribute. I don't know if he likes. I don't know if he likes Billy Joel or if he's goofing on him. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I was kind of curious. Look, Do you think you would go check it out?
Would I? No, I wouldn't. I was never a Ween fan, and I'm not a Billy Joel fan. That's kind of like, if anything, that's a anywhere but here man kind of show. Nothing against Gene Ween. He seems like a very talented guy. I just never got into Ween. I was a little missed it. If you miss it, you miss it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I missed it too, unfortunately. All my friends liked them, but I didn't.
Sure.
But yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting. I mean, Billy Joel's not dead. He's still playing shows every month.
He is at Madison Square Garden. He's got his name. He's got his name hanging. He's got like his jersey hanging from the rafters. So insulting.
Yeah.
To athletes.
Yeah.
This goon shows up, sleepwalks his way through these songs he wrote 45 years ago, and makes $400,000. I gotta get something going here. I tell you, I got a whole lot of nothing going on. Right.
Well, I think you could sell out a show at Madison Square Garden.
You're
after
insane.
Those Bell House shows.
You understand. Four Bell House shows does not equal one Madison Square Garden show.
Yes, that's true. But I still believe you could do it.
You can believe all sorts of things then, Geneva, because just like that. Believing that the other ones aren't going to come true, you might as well just believe that I can fly while you're at it.
I also wanted to tell you really quickly. I just started to watch Steven Universe, and I knew you could sing, but I did not think you could sing that well.
Oh, that's
like to where I was moved. I got emotional listening to one of the songs.
Oh, well, that's nice.
And I was like, oh my gosh,
because I do the voice on the. On the animated series, Steven Universe, on Cartoon Yay. Network. People can check that out.
It's so good, and you're such a good singer.
Oh, well, that's nice of you to say. I appreciate it.
And I will throw one in for the topic, if I can.
Sure. Worst celebrity iPod. Who is it, Geneva? Who?
Well, I don't know if this is number one, but I thought, for some reason, Marky Mark might have a really bad iPod.
Who would be on his iPod? Like, who would be on it?
It would be, like, his stuff from 1992.
So you think he's got Marky Mark, like, Mark Wahlberg still has, like, Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch stuff on there?
Yes. Or, like, some beats that he's working on and in current day.
Beats? What's he beats he's working on?
Something he's, like, a music project. Or on the side, or
when's
something.
When's the last
I don't know.
He hasn't done. If anything, he's on there. He's probably got himself talking to himself to get pumped up while he's lifting weights.
So yeah, like that is true.
You can do this. Lift harder. Keep going. He was from Boogie Nights. Remember him in Boogie Nights?
Yes.
Do you know who was supposed to play that part in Boogie Nights and fell out of it? Ringo Starr. He was supposed to play the Dirk Diggler part. Then he backed out.
What do you think about him getting inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Well, I've talked about it before. I think it's a travesty. I think it's just, it invalidates the people who are in that thing, the idea that they're just, that's like a guilt one letting him in.
True.
When you think of the people that aren't in that thing, and then this clown goes in with his, novelty songs, he's in there now. Well, Dickie Goodman should be in there too, if he's in there. If Ringo Starr's in there, let's let all the novelty artists in, right? Who
yeah.
else? Where's the guy who did shaving cream? Is he in there? Put him in. He should be in. Put him in. Put Dickie Goodman in. Alan Sherman should be in there. Von Meter. All of them. anyone who did a novelty record should be in there. Buckner and Garcia, they did Pac-Man Fever. Why not put them in?
Mm-hmm.
Just picture that jam session. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Joan Jett plays a song. Then Buckner and Garcia are up there. And they go into Pac-Man. And then you have Bruce Springsteen singing Pac-Man Fever.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? That would be... Actually, I'd want to see that.
Yeah, that'd be
I'd
like
want to
the
see
ultimate.
The boss take on. Although he might mix it up, but he's known for deep cuts. He might not do Pac-Man Fever. He might do the Donkey Kong or Froggy's Lament. He might throw a curveball at us.
Yeah, that's true. I can see that too.
Or something from his from Buckner and Garcia's second album, Warehouse Full of Cutouts, was the name of that album.
Yeah.
Well, Geneva, I appreciate the call.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Of course. You call anytime you want. And you have a grand evening.
Have a good night.
Bye. Yeah, jump in the saddle. Let's let them in. To do the curly shuffle. Get inducted. Let all the novelty acts in. I'm serious. Weird Al should be in there before Ringo Starr. In the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. These people like Weird Al. Not like an asterisk. They're like, look, if Weird Al's drummer's in there, no, that guy shouldn't be in there. Bermuda Schwartz, or whatever the guy's name is. Yeah, okay, maybe he doesn't make it in, but Ringo Starr shouldn't make it in either. You with me, Mike? I don't know. No, Mike does. Mike's not with me. He heard his list mentioned. He's zoned out. He got what he wanted. Got his moment of glory. He didn't get me to accidentally curse, so he's a little irked. But other than that, yeah, Rick Dees. Let's add Rick Dees in there. Disco Duck.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI. It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Who? What song did Jim Stafford do? What song? Spiders and Snakes? No, I don't know what that is. That sounds Canadian to me. Is that Canadian? No. That sounds Canadian. Spiders, it sounds dirty. It sounds filthy. It sounds like a trap. Sounds like you're trapping me. I'll play the thing. It's going to be like a god and... Yeah, number one hit. On what? The masses Hot 100? Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi there. This is Michael from Randolph, New Jersey.
Michael from Randolph, New Jersey. I'm going to be nice to you, Michael. You know why?
Because you're from near Randolph, New Jersey.
Because you're local. Yes, exactly. And you could get me. So what's up, Michael?
So I know I'm going early in the evening, but I have a horrible celebrity iPod to share.
Oh, let's hear it.
I'm going to nominate Steve Jobs himself. Both for the delicious irony and for the fact that he would bring John Mayer up to the stage to introduce the invention of the iPod.
Like, picture him loading up that first iPod, right?
Yes.
What was the first one, a 20-gig iPod?
I think it was less. I think we started out at, 4 gigs.
We started out as one? Come on.
Well, we the world.
We the world. Okay, fair enough. So you picture him loading up that first iPod and he's like, well, of course I got to get my friend John Mayer on here. He's dragging over Your Body is a Wonderland, right?
Yes.
Probably some live track of him just soloing, like his cover of like Voodoo Child.
Yes. Also, I would imagine like a Coldplay, like a, you know, some kind of really like slow zoned out Coldplay tracks.
Yeah, he got some Coldplay. Well, he put U2 on there because he's pals with all those goons. the Goons in U2, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he would...
For the man that invented or claims to have invented this whole new way of listening to music, I just don't think he's up to the task from a musical taste perspective.
Now, you know what he'd probably put on there? He'd probably put that U2 thing, the one that the Edge sang, that one. Remember that song? That was a novelty song. Put the Edge in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for that novelty U2 song he did, the one time they let him sing one. Well, I think that,
maybe like a Jack Johnson track, I feel like he would put in there.
Yeah, some like chill music, right? He probably have like some weird
old man's music.
Some weird speeches on there too, right? Weird Eisenhower speech. Churchill.
Who do you think his favorite politician would have been?
His favorite politician? I don't know. Steve Jobs seemed like a great... That guy made the world worse, man. That guy made the world a lot worse. We don't need this trash he saddled us with. Remember when things were supposed to get easier with technology? How much easier is it? Is it easier for everybody? Or is everybody in a panic, worried why they can't get a thing to load because it didn't update correctly? It was. I'm telling you, to the teens listening, it was actually simpler before all this trash entered everybody's life. I'm telling you. Am I right, Mike?
I think so. You pull it off the shelf, put it on the record player, the music comes out. Pretty straightforward.
Yeah. You know what the best part was? Nobody could get a hold of you. Oh, yeah, I wasn't home. I called you. Yeah, well, you left a message. I wasn't home. I heard it when I got home. Not, why didn't you pick up? Now you're like, I gotta lie and say, but I didn't get the, I left my phone, I couldn't get the data. No, back then. Yeah, I got your message. Yeah, so I'm calling you back.
Did you have a first generation iPod? When was your first iPod?
My first iPod would have been a 40 gig iPod.
Do you still have it?
Yeah, it's laying around somewhere. It's a piece of garbage. All right, you're bumming me out. Goodbye. I'm going to bring my guest in. Let's bring Jake Fogelnest into the studio. Can you show him to the studio, Mike? He found his own way. Okay. All right, you put the cans on? Yeah, get up on the mic. Get it.
Yeah.
He should get up on that, right, Jason?
Yeah.
Get up on it. Like James Brown said, get up on...
As featured in the Entourage trailer.
It was. The Entourage trailer, which... I'm pumped for that movie. I gotta tell you.
No, I'm there opening day.
So Gronk dancing around. And like that list of... When they list all the celebrity... Like all the... First of all, why'd they list all the cameos? Because like... How many tickets are they going to sell because they said, guys, we're going to give you a little heads up. Army Hammer is in this thing. What? Well, like, I wasn't going to see it. But now you
that
tell me.
That pushes it over the edge.
You tell me Army Hammer is in the Entourage movie? All right, I'll see it. Fine. I'll see the Entourage movie with Army, because I'm a huge Army Hammer fan. Army Hammer.
He pulls it a lot overseas.
It probably That's is something like that.
Like, Entourage does very well domestic, but it has no cachet overseas. So.
You want to know what? I would bet you're completely right on that.
Yeah, did you see the Entourage trailer? Entourage. We're going to see the Army Hammer has a new movie out.
Some amorphous accent I'm doing.
Just foreign.
Yeah, you know, not here. that voice I just did. And somebody, people going to it, it's like, The Lone Ranger. It's the movie with The Lone Ranger. Like, whatever country Lone Ranger was enormous in.
In overseas, it's not even called Entourage. It's the Lone Ranger 2.
Yeah.
Lone Ranger just, in Los Angeles.
They just go, The Lone Ranger. Yeah, that's what they market it as. And they just hope that they don't get caught by, like... because nobody's going to monitor. I'm going to list who these cameos are in this thing. Yeah. They roll over the closing, over the trailer. They give you this blast of who's in this thing, and it's, you're just like, okay, here we go. Get ready for this list of who's who's. Calvin Harris, don't know who that is.
He's like a EDM guy that's going out with Taylor Swift as of last week.
Jessica Alba. Russell Wilson, quarterback from the Seattle Seahawks. Emily Ratajkowski, who's the woman from the Blurred Lines.
Sure,
From that.
Why not just say, like, the woman from the Blurred Lines music video?
Yeah, the one who, from that, I think they call that video Exhibit A, is what that video should be called. Liam Neeson, and he's flipping the bird in the trailer. So, and he's in a car, which means, Liam Neeson didn't get out of his car to be in this thing.
I'll be in the Entourage movie.
We just need you for we need you for like 45 minutes.
Hey, Liam.
I'm not getting, he's not getting out of his car.
Like somebody comes over to like Doug Allen.
Liam is on his way. Good news, bad news. He's on his way.
Yeah.
Bad news. He said he won't get out of his car. He's going.
You know what? I can make it work. I can make it work. It's just fine. It's fine. We'll get out of here a little early.
He's shooting his scene from his car. Or he wants to get into the car that you're paying him with to be in this. Like, he gets out of a car and gets into the car that is his payment for being in this thing and leaves in it. Ronda Rousey, who is an MMA fighter.
She's prominently featured.
Yeah, because she thrashes a turtle, Jerry Ferrara, in the
friend trail. Of the show,
friend of the show, friend of yours. That's why he he came on the show, because you vouched for me. So look, he's a great. I'm into it.
I've never met him. We corresponded over Twitter because I had heard that he had had a. Tom, wake up!
Oh no, I was cracking my neck.
Because I had heard that he had had a podcast. And so I got very excited about that, and I just started tweeting about Jerry Ferrara having a podcast and making fake ads for it, and then
he's like, not sure what your end game is here, but it seems like you're into it, and you see, you know.
Yeah, he sent a tweet like, Jake Fogelnuss is pretty funny, and it was like, it was very clear, like, hey man, this got back to me, and then now I'm friends with Turtle.
He's got a sense of humor about himself. He does. He should, which is great. That's all anybody would ever ask of him is to just like, Entourage is a fun
show
that is ridiculous, and people enjoyed it for the ridiculousness of it. But push comes to shove, they enjoy it. Well, I love it.
I've seen every episode of every single episode.
Seen every episode of Deadwood? No, I haven't. No. I never finished season 3 of it. Did I watch every episode of Entourage? Yes, when they aired, I did.
No, it wasn't even DVR'd.
No.
You would leave places.
I'd be like, I need to get home.
Yeah.
Entourage is on.
And HBO Go existed for like at least the last year of Entourage.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah,
no, don't need it. Pharrell, George Takei, Andrew Dice Clay, the Dice Man, he's wearing a Rolling with Dice and Wheels shirt in it, which is his podcast, which he does
with Wheels, his longtime Parisi. Yeah, his road manager, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
David Spade. Warren Buffett.
Like who? What's interesting is a couple of these people, like, I had a list of worst celebrity iPods. And a couple of the people in the Entourage movie are on that list.
Like, who's seeing the movie for Warren Buffett being in it? Like, yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited about Warren Buffett. And this, it looks like he's on like a golf cart. Like he's looking clearly from a vehicle. That he's also not getting off.
I think that was the deal. Like, no one would get out of whatever vehicle that they were in to get there.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Warren Buffett. Hey, Warren. You got any tips for me?
Yeah, get out of acting. Golf cart drives off.
Ooh.
Armie Hammer. And he looks like he's on land. Like, he's standing. Mm-hmm. He's, like, there's different levels to the cameos here. Are you on your feet or in a vehicle? Look, Army wants to know if he can drive a go-kart through the thing. No, you tell Army he's got to have his feet on the ground to be in this thing. Tom Brady, who is sitting, he's on a plane. So every, what is this with this lack of movement from these guys? It's like the, it's like they're watching the entourage. Like, people watching the movie are exerting more energy than these cameos. Everyone's sitting in them. Tom Brady, oh, K-Dog is in it. Kelsey Grammer, who's going, he's standing, but he's going toward a car. So, Ed O'Neill, who's getting out of a car.
Yeah.
Oh my God. What is this?
The whole, does the Entourage movie, it just takes place in a parking lot?
It seems like a car dealership.
The whole thing was filmed at a car show.
Yeah. 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 Ed O'Neill, who's getting in a car. T.I., who's sitting. And Mark Wahlberg, who, they zoomed in on for this.
Green screen for sure. Yeah.
So, come on, guys. You're going to do the celebrity cameo. Put shoes on for it, right? That's all we're asking. Move. I got to find out some of the realities of the cameos on this.
Have you read the script to the movie?
No, I did not want. I know it was floating around. I wanted nothing to do with it. I can go into that movie now just seeing it and being like, I didn't know any. And first of all, they probably rewrote half the stuff because they want it to be. Why? Who was,
well,
in
the draft, the draft that I had read, mm-hmm, had Kate Upton playing a very prominent role as herself.
Okay.
And then the ending of the movie, mm-hmm, was not finished. First of all, I think it was something like 147 pages.
Okay.
And then it ends with, literally, maybe Vince wins an Oscar? Question mark. I swear.
Oh, no.
I swear.
But that's just a thing they're just getting. They want it to
Sure.
Like, I feel like, first of all, Kate Upton's nowhere to be found in this trailer. I don't know if she's in the thing, unless that's a secret. I hope there's some secret cameos in here that they didn't tell us about, like, you know,
Robert Durst
being there. Like, what if they punched him in real fast? Yeah. They shoot a thing with him just in a car. He's clearly wearing, like, an orange jumpsuit. But they're trying to, like, make it look like he's just like, welcome to Los Angeles, guys.
Ari's going to be his agent.
Yeah. You made my new client,
the Jinx.
Yeah.
Hey, just sign the Jinx.
Yeah. Hey, do you know if they're casting for season 2 of the Jinx?
You should do the Jinx. Hey, drama. You should kill someone.
Maybe you'll get an HBO show.
That's the only way you get on HBO.
Hey, what about Viking Quest?
Viking Quest. I wonder if there'll be a Viking Quest thing in the movie.
I wonder if that's like a spin-off Netflix movie. Like they actually just make...
Like the Marvel Universe?
Yeah.
They get.
Netflix brings back Viking Quest.
What? Yeah, or everything else is coming back now.
It's the first eBay original series.
Where you bid on... You have to bid on not getting it sent to you. Like, this, like, all these things like, hey, Mr. Show is coming back. Oh, that's the greatest thing I ever heard. Hey, Arrested Development's back.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah.
Hey, X-Files is coming back. Awesome. Hey, Twin Peaks is coming back. All right, my favorite. Hey, Full House is coming back. All right, who wanted that? Who ordered that? It's like you're looking around. It's like a lunch order, and you're not sure who ordered some disgusting thing. Who ordered Full House coming back?
Big news. Hanging with Mr. Cooper. You've been waiting for it. It's back.
But who want?
No.
Full House, like it's the plot line that this, the most meaningless thing ever. Like it's not, none of the feeling of when you were a kid is going to be recreated when it comes back, if that's what you want from it. Cause now Bob Saget is like a pervert.
Yeah.
It's like, he, like, at that point on the show, he was just playing this guy. Now he's had 15 years of just being an unrelenting pervert, yeah, working against that image.
The only one that is, like, I guess the guy who plays Joey. Like, he hasn't, like, because Stamos is, like, you know, a sex symbol guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, but, like, I guess
in his yogurt commercials now. Oikos. Oikos? Is that what that yogurt's called?
Does he need, like, to do yogurt commercials?
What's that yogurt called, Mike? Yoplait? No, not Yoplait. Oh, this guy.
Dannon?
I'm telling you. Dannon. Yoplait. Mike, I got to remember who I'm talking to here. Mike's old school. Mike's eating some old school yogurt out there, right? He's probably got the fruit at the bottom, right? He's never eaten yogurt. You've never tried it?
Like a spoonful, yes.
And you didn't like it?
Not my thing, no.
Oh, what a... You ever have Froyo?
Yes, I have had it.
You like Froyo?
Yeah, it was okay.
Well, sorry, it all can't be Cold Stone Creamery, my man. How did we both miss Captain Jack as a character on our lists, Mike? Neil is saying that on Twitter. How did Captain Jack from the Billy Joel song? In June, we're going to do the worst 100 characters. Captain Jack should make that list. I can't even open that door tonight. That will become the show. But Captain Jack, I'm going to say he's got a spot on that list already. So, Jake Fogelnest.
Yes.
It's Jake Fogelnest. It's at Jake Fogelnest, yes. First of all.
Yes.
People know you as, they may know you as, one-time host of Squirt TV.
Yes, I did that.
When you were a teen.
I was
a young teen, not even like 17.
I was like 15 years old.
Yeah. But now you are a writer.
Yes.
You have written for Difficult People.
Yes.
Julie Klausner, Billy Eichner show, which Julie was here talking about last week, which comes out on Hulu later this year.
Yes.
You also did some writing on the Wet Hot American Summer. Is that true?
Yes, that is true. It's coming to Netflix.
The Netflix original series.
They brought that they ordered. That the group of people said, hey, we're bringing Wet Hot American Summer back.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll take it.
Yeah. It wasn't like, hey, what if we bring this thing back and then just like, I guess, I don't know. Why not?
It's like Coach is like really coming back.
Coach is coming back.
NBC, 13 episodes of Coach.
You start to realize the only people who want Coach coming back is like, Coat is like the people on Coach.
Dauber.
Yeah.
Hey, Hayden. Hey, did you hear Coach is coming back?
How does that mean? Remember that guy? Like, how does that even, like.
Jerry Van Dyke?
He calls up NBC.
Yeah. We got Jerry Van Dyke? Is Jerry Van Dyke coming back? Who? Jerry Van Dyke? He's got to be like 100.
He's very old. I saw an Instagram video of Jerry Van Dyke in a hot tub, and he was semi-nude.
Ugh.
And it was not something that I was. You wake up in the morning, you don't expect to see Jerry Van Dyke semi-nude in a hot tub go viral.
Ugh. Jerry Van Dyke. So it's Coach, which was this show that had Craig T. Nelson. And Jerry Van Dyke, and then that big guy who was like,
hey,
was he like?
Hey, Lunkhead.
What's going on?
He was like the guy who was like the equivalent of like Pruitt from Sharky's CPO Sharky. It was Don Rickles had a sitcom called CPO Sharky where he was in the Navy, and he had under his his supervision, he was in charge of one person of every ethnicity, where it's just like teeing them up for him to just get mad at each race and creed and color I got to read the names of the people who were in his thing.
It was just purely to tee up Don Rickles.
Yeah, to make to differentiate them with like racial jokes for each one.
They get notes back from the network. We need maybe some more Pollock stuff.
Yeah. Let's see here. Let me see some of the names. Okay, here we go. Don Rickles played CPO Otto Sharkey. Otto? His name was Otto?
Yeah.
Then there was Chief Robinson.
Uh-huh.
Then there's David Landsberg played Recruit Skolnick.
Uh-huh.
Then you had Rodriguez.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And Kowalski.
Uh-huh.
It's just like, just serving it up for this guy to be able to make all his racial jokes.
Yeah.
This is great.
Moishe Goldfarb.
It's like, what a... Yeah, can we hit a little more? That's like old TV right there. That's like, that's the old guard just like, it's a show for Don Rickles. Just make it so we can just goof on all with these races of all these people. Just like, don't worry about going too soft with this.
Yeah.
On the nose.
It's very problematic.
Yes. Very problematic.
I would love to see that. I'd love to see a backlash, like a Twitter, Don Rickles is very problematic.
Well, just imagine that show now, where you would be like, well, hey, remember that show we announced, Don Rickles' new show? We are not making it. We announced it, and 12 hours later, due to the internet reaction to it, we have pulled the plug on CPO Sharkey. We wish Don Rickles nothing but the worst, actually. They would wish him nothing but the worst.
Just sweet CPO Sharkey.
We're out of business. We're out of the Don Rickles business. So those things, when does the Wet Hot American Summer?
Wet Hot comes out mid-July.
Wet Hot, don't call it
Wet
Hot.
Should I not?
What are you? Why don't you just wear a crew jacket for it?
Okay,
What, do you actually have a jacket or a hat that says Wet Hot American Summer?
They did send like a sweatshirt thing, which was like, oh, cool. But I can't wear that out.
No.
You can't wear that, like.
No, you can't wear Wet Hot.
Anyway, when we were working on Wet.
I'll have Mike toss you out of here if you say any abbreviation. It does not take that long. We have plenty of time for you to say Wet Hot American Summer. You can say the whole title. We're not in any rush.
When we were breaking story on the summer.
That is skin crawling.
Wet Hot American Summer, mm-hmm. First Day of Camp.
Okay.
Comes out mid-July.
So it's a prequel movie that took place 15 years ago.
15 years ago, everybody in their late 20s mm-hmm. were playing teenagers.
Yeah.
And the Netflix show is a prequel where now everybody in their late 30s, early 40s are playing teenagers 3 months earlier.
than in the movie out in 2000.
Yeah.
And you were in the movie.
I'm in the movie for a second, yes.
Yes.
Mostly cut out mm-hmm. because it was just far too disturbing. It worked on paper, and then when I brought to life in the film.
In the test screenings.
In the test screenings, it showed at Sundance, and it was like, we're going to distribute your movie, no problem.
Yeah.
We have one note.
Yeah.
There's one note. Yeah.
And you're like, hey, what's the feedback to it? Oh, what are these? Audience reaction cards? Yeah, Jake, I might not look at those if I was you.
I'll take a look.
No, you seriously don't want to read.
It's fine.
They're all about how you were the one thing no one wanted in the movie.
It just says creepy, but they used a lot of E's. It's just creepy.
In case anybody missed it, emphasizing has 11 E's in creepy.
The Netflix show I got to be one of the writers mm-hmm. on, which was super fun.
And then you're doing your own thing, which was announced on saw on Deadline Hollywood.
Yes. In the best part about that Deadline announcement mm-hmm. was it was the week that they were in trouble for writing an article about like, are there too many ethnic people on television these days? And then this Deadline article comes out. And it says Jake Fogelman to develop an IFC show. So I said the worst thing that Deadline did that week was spell my name wrong, and they did.
So wait, Deadline, Hollywood had an article saying, are there too many?
Yeah, it was like some, this is like one of these, you know, think pieces.
Well, why didn't, the article could have just said, no, not really. Like that could have been the whole article. No, but I
think
not
was,
at all.
I think it was in reaction to like Blackish and Fresh Off the Boat. And it's like, oh, why aren't there's no, I think the context of the article is that white people aren't getting jobs anymore. Yeah. Agents don't know what to do. And that was.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. The giant panic that there's four shows on television now.
Yeah, four. Yeah.
Not based around Whitey. So sick of Whitey.
Witty and white. There's nothing worse.
Sick of it. Please bring it on.
But I sold it.
End Whitey. That's what I say.
Hashtag end Whitey.
Hashtag end Whitey. What do you think of that, Mike? Mike said, that's a nice one. That might have been the weirdest answer to that. Nice. That's a nice one. It's like you're appraising Hummel figurines out there. Oh, that's a nice one. It's a little elf. So you have a show you've been you're developing your own
for IFC, which is called Start Making Sense, and Ben Stiller's producing it.
All right.
I'm writing it right now. We'll see what happens. Well,
that's very exciting.
It is.
So this is a good time.
Yeah.
To be Jake Fogelnest.
And if it all turns to crap, I'm gonna be executive story editor on Fuller House.
Yeah. So you'll just be you'll just be in a room. Like kind of in charge of the dry erase board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Story ideas.
We need more stuff for Kimmy Gibbler.
Kimmy? Wait, who's that?
Kimmy Gibbler is a character friend. Oh. Yeah.
Why are they that just makes me ill that they're bringing that back. Fuller House. There's a real show that isn't being made right now because the money is being allotted to Fuller House. Sorry, I wish we had the budget for it, but we just greenlit Fuller House. In case anybody wondered what happened to the characters from that show that had 350 episodes of nothing happening.
Yeah, it's not like it ended too soon there's loose ends to wrap up.
It's not Star Trek, where it's like, bring back Star Trek. It's like, no, these guys had all the time in the world to tell an interesting story with that show, and they chose not to.
And they sort of wrapped up the story in every episode, too. It was like, those things were...
The show meant for six-year-olds!
Well, Tom, those six-year-olds are now 19 and are Netflix subscribers.
I guess so. That's actually what it is.
Yeah. Well, if you're not a 90s kid. Thank God.
No. So the topic on the table is the worst celebrity iPods. Let's hear what the people have to say. And then I want to hear what you, I know you have some written down.
I got some, yeah.
Do you have any, Mike?
Yeah, I'll send some in.
Oh, good. Mike's got another list.
Going to send some in, yeah. The list out there. Lists. Right? It'd be a segment. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. This is Andrew in Brooklyn.
Andrew in Brooklyn. What neighborhood in Brooklyn are you calling from?
Oh, no. I was afraid you were going to ask.
Kickball Heights? Where are you calling from?
No, I'm calling from Flatbush.
Cocaine Gardens? What?
You know, Sunset Park is a real one, but...
No, I knew that! Like made up. I never... Man, if you ever want to get a rise out of anybody, tease anyone from New York about anything, and suddenly the people who say everything they want about every other spot on the planet, they have no sense... Suddenly it's the most reverent situation. Well, you know, Sunset. What's it called again? Sunset Heights?
Sunset Park.
Sunset Park? Well, you know, Sunset Park's a real neighborhood. One guy wrote me, you sounded real stupid when you were saying that. Yeah, you'd almost think it was a comedy show.
Yeah, he kind of seems like a real genius writing.
I've never been able to. People. Like, I made fun of there was a blackout once in New York, and it was it was like a blackout for like a day.
It's nothing.
There was like, and then everybody in New York had their New York stories about the blackout. Yeah. Oh, the bodega was passing out popsicles, and then we were up on the roof having a cookout, and they're just doing everything. It was the greatest time ever. And then it was like, yeah, meanwhile, in New Jersey, we went 8 days without power during that blackout. It was not fun at all. And then when I started making fun of it, like teasing New Yorkers for it, some guy was like, oh, I guess you think it's real funny that someone who probably needed a kidney dialysis couldn't get power for their thing. That's real funny to you, huh?
It's like, that's a fun take. That's a fun take on the, just to bring up. Yeah.
Calm down. I love you, New York. I love you. Who doesn't love New York?
Also, why is everybody, like, cheering for the last time there was a blackout in New York? Like, the Son of Sam was running around.
Yes, exactly.
Stereo equipment got stolen.
Yeah. It was like, are we all going to die?
Yeah.
Someone just tell us. I think we're all going to die. The power's out. The Yankees are in the World Series. The Son of Sam is loose. And now there's no power. This is probably the end of the world right now.
And then the next one, it's like everybody wants a pat on the back because, hey, we didn't loot.
Yeah. All right. You save your crypto racist stuff for your Fogelmess files. Like, that's the new Fogelmess files 2.0. Yeah, we don't talk about fun entertainment anymore.
No.
We'll talk about all that stuff. But first, here's something from Jake's soapbox. Here's a segment called Society Today with Jake. Jake's going to tee off a little bit here. So, caller?
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Where are you from again? Sunset Park?
No, I live in Flatbush.
Flatbush, that's right. Now, do you have something for the worst celebrity iPod?
I do. I'd like to nominate Bobby Flay.
Bobby Flay. Who would be on Bobby Flay? Celebrity chef Bobby Flay. Name a few artists who would be on Bobby Flay's iPod.
Well, I think that Bobby Flay's iPod would be filled with people who wish that they were in the Rat Pack.
Oof. Like who? Like Joey Pants?
I don't know, like Harry Connick Jr. or like Michael Bublé. I don't know, like Jason Mraz.
I sat next to Jason Mraz at the 101 Diner when I was in Los Angeles recently. We were at the counter. Like, there was a guy, he's like, hey, can you move down one so I can sit here with... Like, he was with somebody, and I slid down, and next thing I know, I'm sitting next to Jason Mraz.
I don't know much about Jason Mraz, except one time I saw on MTV, he came on the screen and said, hi, I'm Jason Mraz, and the world is full of stories. And I just turned it off. That's all I need to know.
Yeah, and that's one story. I'm closing the end to the story of me learning more about Jason Mraz.
The world is full of stories.
Yeah, it's a short story. Very short. So who would be on it? So you think Michael Bublé and...
Yeah, I think it's just kind of full of people who wish that they were in the Rat Pack and wish to go back to that sort of, you know, style of music. I think that maybe Bobby Flay was like the only person who bought that new album by the guy who, by Robin Thicke. I think he's the only one because he's probably friends with him.
Yeah, because Robin Thicke put an album out like that was like not... Had, like, no
hits.
Yeah.
He put up the... There's a creepy song about wanting his wife back.
It's his blood on the tracks. It's Robin Thicke's blood on the tracks. He's cracking his heart open. The son of Alan Thicke. Wait, who would have thought that guy would have been a superficial creep? The son of the father on... Why is the Growing Pains not coming back?
You know, a lot of people have the...
I hear these Alan Thicke commercials on satellite radio where he's always like, hi, it's Alan Thicke. I want to tell you about home security. Do you have, like, these, like, panicked commercials? Like,
yeah.
Are you worried about...
Like, he's doing the ones that Woolery passes on. Like,
that's exactly it,
Thicke
yeah.
will... Look, Woolery won't read this thing. Just Thicke will do it.
Hi, it's Alan Thicke. I want to ask you... About when you think of catheters.
Alan Thicke for AshleyMadison.com. Yeah. Every other commercial on satellite radio is Ashley Madison.
That's Alan Thicke. for AshleyMatheson.com. Are you looking to have an affair? Like my son? Let me get my son in on this thing.
Tries calling him.
Just do the commercial.
So you just hear him in the background, like a cell phone. You're like, I'm not doing the commercial.
I don't need to do
like
it.
Like way in the background.
I don't need to do it. No. You don't need to do it.
It's like, Dad, you don't need to do this stuff. I'll lend you money if you need money.
Alan. He just wants to get out of the house.
Oh, that Alan Thicke. Those commercials on satellite radio. Holy guacamole, man. So, well, that's a good one, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom and Jake, how are you? It's Dan and Carney.
Oh, it's Dan and Carney. I know this guy. He's the, he's in Carney. So for people who don't know, Carney, New Jersey, it's not spelled like the, ironically, it's a town full of, it's a town full of lowlives and hucksters. But it's not spelled like the Carneys, right? Carney, it's K-E-A-R-N-E-Y?
No E.
No E.
No second E.
No second E. K-E-R-N-Y.
No, it has an A in the middle. K-E-A-R-N-Y.
K-E-A-R-N-Y.
Yep.
And Carney is a town, it's like if you're interested in warehouses or tires, like, right? A lot of places selling tires there.
Basically, every they pick it to shoot the Sopranos. A lot of the Sopranos there for a reason.
Yeah, there's towns like Kearney and Bayonne where the like, a lot of these shows will be like, hey, we're going to film at this high school, and the principal will be like, well, look, if you're going to film anything in my school that has anything offensive or anything, it's just like, can't do it. But Kearney and Bayonne, it's like, yeah, we don't need a script. Yeah, come on in. What? Oh. Yeah, you want AJ to smash up the school? Yeah, sure. From the Sopranos. Yeah, shoot that at Bayonne High. Yeah, we don't care. Yeah, what, if he trashes a classroom? Yeah, we'll do that. Anything goes, but Kearney has a fair amount of pizza joints.
I think that's fair to say, yeah.
Like parking lots filled with tires.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean,
And warehouses where you don't know what's going on in the warehouse. Well, like, God knows
South Kearney.
Oh, God knows what's going on in some of those warehouses. That's when you wish you had X-ray vision, right?
No.
You thank God every day you don't.
Just like, I can't unsee what I saw in that warehouse. So, you, Dan from Kearney, you are a huge hockey fan. You're a New Jersey Devils maniac. You were excited because the NHL draft was coming up. And you were hoping to get one of the top picks, and you didn't.
Nope.
You got the sixth spot. I looked at that for your sake, which is a garbage slot.
Very good.
Any slot. That's the slot that just means your team's going to keep on stinking. Right?
Well, and it's all 18-year-old kids, so who knows? I mean, it's really a crapshoot.
Yeah, you know. You know you're going to get some guy you're going to cheer for, but he's going to be like, oh, he's not that good. The Ron Mercer
slot. It's not like the NBA or something.
Ron Mercer.
Getting up in the middle of. I do have a couple for the
Antonio Daniels to the Vancouver Grizzlies. No, I'm just going way too. Go ahead. So you were going to say. Okay. What now?
I have a couple for the topic.
Who do you have for worst celebrity iPod?
Well, one you brought up already, and I'm surprised you didn't kind of throw him into the iPod topic, which is Robert Durst.
Robert Durst, who would be on Robert Durst's iPod?
It's the sound of people screaming, maybe? I don't know.
So he would just have, like, death sound.
Halloween sound effect records?
Yeah. They're like, all right,
soundtrack.
We confiscated his iPod, and I think we have the sound. He'd be like, and he'll be like, no, well, that one's me murdering someone. That other one's from Halloween 2. That track is
John
me.
Carpenter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Faces of Death have a soundtrack?
What's that?
Does Faces of Death have a soundtrack?
Does Faces, I wonder if there is, like, there's some label.
Somebody's putting that out. Yeah,
vinyl.
Like, for sure.
180 yeah. gram
vinyl. 180 gram vinyl, Faces of Death 2 soundtrack.
And then the other one, and maybe this is a road trip, buddy, for Robert Durst, would be, for your NBA enjoyment, is Donald Sterling.
Yeah, Donald Sterling, the dirtbag former owner of the L.A. Clippers, what would be on his iPod? Probably like I would picture he'd have like people he met.
Yeah, that's
like,
yep.
Like where he's like, I got Red Hot Chili Peppers on here, like, and we'd call him Red Hot Chili. I got Red Hot, not the Red. I got Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Old CPO Sharky episode.
All right,
probably.
That's you're off target on that. Don Rickles.
All right, sorry about that. I tried.
Goodbye. Sorry.
The truth is, Donald Sterling's iPod is just filled with episodes of the Fogelnest Files.
That would be insane if he's like, do you hear the one where he talks to Fart at Fart? You had this fascination with this guy, Fart.
I like that guy.
On Twitter.
Uh-huh.
Some guy who got in early. Like.
That is true.
This is what that guy got in early on. Yeah. Not like some stock. Uh-huh. He got in early on getting the Twitter handle Fart.
Yep. He's the first guy.
Well, that's a proud moment.
Not to be outdone by his friend at Dogboner.
Yeah, all right. That's you. Yeah. That save that for Fogelnest Foss.
No,
look, he's very
that
funny.
That era's over.
I do think he's
John
funny.
Is, yes, at Fart is.
I think
funny.
They're both funny. I think they're both very funny. But those names, guys,
they're the only ones from that weird.
Bring a little class to the table once in a while, guys.
Say to them, like at a certain point, like you say, you're sticking with that. You can change it now. Yeah. You got the followers.
Or sell it.
You
can't sell that.
He should sell it. Yeah.
Right? Sell to College Humor.
Yeah, College Humor would love it.
They'd buy it.
Yeah.
Imagine those negotiations. All right, here's the password. It's all yours. When are you going to PayPal me over the $350?
I like that the guy from College Humor sounds like some sort of thug.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
It's me, Ricky Van Veen from College Humor.
Yeah, just stop messing around. Caller, welcome to the best show.
Hi, how you doing? This is Matt from Houston.
Matt from Houston.
Yes.
How are you tonight, Matt?
I'm doing very well. I'm doing very well.
What do you have for the worst celebrity iPod? Who would you put on the list?
My first thought when the topic came up earlier.
Any chance
today
you could look? You have such a thick Houston drawl.
Yeah,
any chance you could?
Yeah, it's very deep. I know.
Like Foghorn Leghorn.
Yeah, it really. It's. I gotta say. It's almost like you're doing. It's like a put on of that classic Houston accent.
Right, the classic Texas drawl.
Yeah. So what?
Texas by way of London.
Yes. I don't even want to know how you ended up in Houston.
That's not what I won't go into, but I do have for worst celebrity iPod.
Who would
first
be that
thought
be?
Was Penn Jillette.
I think Penn Jillette would actually have a pretty good iPod.
There's a lot of Zappa. There's a lot of Residents.
And Velvet Underground.
And Velvet Underground, yeah.
And half Japanese.
Yeah, a lot of half Japanese.
Actually, that was I did look it up, and I found he did. iTunes used to do celebrity playlists,
mm-hmm.
and so he had one, and this is from like 2005 or something like that. So years ago. So he does have half Japanese on there. So that's
well,
good.
Like,
but
he like
the rest of it
ran
bad.
Their label.
Yeah,
and saved them from financial ruin.
Look, I can say whatever you want about Penn Jillette, but it's like. He ran a label called 50 Skadillion Watts where he put out a lot of half Japanese records. So
okay, so maybe I'm being unfair.
Teller's iPod though is terrible. Teller's got a
Teller's
terrible
iPod yeah would be a lot of like yeah. Who
John would Cage tracks?
Look, my friend.
It's like carnival music, like
yeah.
Pipe organs, yeah, yeah.
Like he records a lot of like merry-go-rounds.
Yeah.
And this is audio from this is the merry-go-round that I found in Corpus Christi. I'm sorry to tell you this, my friend. You're off target tonight, and you're getting hung up on. Goodbye, Pendulette. Think it through, Chief. Best Show, you're on the air. Hello? No? Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom and Jake, it's John in Lawrenceville.
John in Lawrenceville, New Jersey. I know this guy.
You do?
I do. How are you?
I'm good. I have a question related to this evening's topic.
Well, I'd like to hear the question.
What percentage of James Dolan's iPod do you think consists of his own music?
Okay, James Dolan, the owner of what? Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
And he is the guy who owns the Knicks and is a terrible owner. But he is also known as this guy who is like, he's also the front man for his blues band.
Yeah, he's a blues man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of the highest order.
Which is called James, what's it called?
J.D. and the Straight Shot.
J.D. Right. And yeah. The Straight Shot.
Yeah.
And it's the worst music you've ever heard. And he opens for the Eagles at the Barclays Center.
Owns the venue, and he's just like, you know what? I'm opening up for you guys.
Does he own Barclays Center, too?
No, he opened up for him at the Garden, for sure.
That sounds like one of the ones where he would want to do it at Barclays Center and be like, I didn't put myself on the bill at my own place. What I did is I got the billionaire who owns this place to put me on the bill.
Do me a favor.
Yeah. What percentage would be J.D. and the Straight Shot music on his own iPod? I would say, I think all of it's on there. I just don't know how much music. So I bet you he would have live shows on there.
He's a musician. He's got a full iPod.
Yeah, like demos. I just love music.
Yeah.
So he's got a lot of blues on there, which he's probably got good blues on there and bad blues, but he's got a ton.
Gigs of Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Yes, of that, yeah. But of his own music, 5% of the iPod is taken up by J.D. and the Straight Shot music.
Okay, and I have a follow-up question.
Absolutely.
How likely is it that James Dolan owns a Pono?
100% certainty.
Yeah.
There's no way a guy like that doesn't be like...
First off the assembly line.
Yeah. Neil said the thing about, he calls him Neil because, he knows.
He met Neil Young twice.
Yeah, when he played
when
his
he played,
venue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Neil. It's me, James Dolan.
James Dolan.
Yeah, I own the joint, but you could call me J.D. And then the door shuts in his face. You can call me J.D. Oh, cool. Thanks. Slam. Him just in a hallway with Frank Sinatra, framed pictures of all the people who played the Garden. He's just standing outside the door. What was your question again, John?
I know you answered it.
Oh, did I? 100%. Yeah. Yes. I say 100%. And like Jake said, right off the assembly line, first Pono.
Limited
probably put multiples.
Like number 4 out of the first 100 that were,
Yeah.
Excellent.
Neil,
thanks,
I bought
guys.
One of the first Ponos. Oh, thanks.
Thanks a lot, man. Oh, that's real great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really believe in it.
Yeah.
Excellent. Hey. Well, thanks a lot, guys. Have a great night.
Thank you, John.
I'll see you.
Take care.
Bye.
It is the ideal way to hear trans, though.
On a Pono?
On a Pono, yeah.
Yeah. I love that Neil Young, a guy who is responsible for some of the sloppiest execution... is now hung up on perfection all of a sudden.
Yeah. And now, meanwhile, at the IFC Center right now, they're showing like 400 experimental Neil Young movies that they couldn't figure out what to do with.
Human Highway.
Human Highway. A beautiful restored director's cut of Human Highway.
Yeah, there's more of it. Don't worry, there's more. There's longer.
I'm the biggest Devo fan in the world, and I can't even get it together.
Make it through Human Highway. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. It's Jeff from Brooklyn. How are you?
Jeff from Brooklyn. What's going on, Jeff?
Hey. I wanted to talk about Consolidated Cardboard. I bought the Best Show box set and had it shipped to my parents' house because I didn't know where I was going to be living. So, I pre-ordered it and didn't know where I was going to be living when it came.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got it. And my dad was really excited because he's worked in packaging his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And he went on the internet and looked for Consolidated Cardboard in New Jersey.
Because the packing tape is Consolidated Cardboard.
That's
crazy.
And he literally was excited. He's in his 60s. Mm-hmm. And was looking for, something else to do. And you made his life to search for this thing for a little while. Isn't that weird?
Well, I'm glad I could make his life. You sure you don't want to click that summation back. Down
a
little bit?
I'll dial it back a little bit. Yeah, no, you made him really disappointed.
He went looking for a little puzzle, and then the puzzle turned out to not be satisfying.
Not go anywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but that's
like, fine. I looked for this thing. What's this thing that you got?
Well, look, thank you for buying the box set, the Sharpling and Worcester Best of the Best Show box set, featuring an extensive interview with us done by Jake Fogelnest.
This is the thing I'm most proud to be involved with this year. It's really true.
Well, thank you. That was truly exciting for you to do that. You were the first person we thought of after.
That thing is beautiful, too. I got mine.
We were putting it together. Well, thank you. I'm not even going to make a zinger like, man, you were the 18th person. No, you were the first person we thought of, and that was
it.
I
appreciate it. It was fun.
Anything, buddy?
Two other quick things.
Go ahead.
I live in, I work in downtown Manhattan, and I went shopping at Century 21. You know that store? It's a sort of discount store.
Okay,
I saw Marky Ramone there and was really excited because I saw Marky Ramone, the real life Marky Ramone, right? and he was there. He was, I don't know, looking at shirts, and then I went to check out, and I stood in line behind him, and I was told that I couldn't stand in line behind him because he was in line at the VIP line, and I looked it up afterwards, and the way you get VIP line is you shop at the Century 21 all the time, and I thought that was, I don't know, crazy for somebody like Marky Ramone that he shops at the Century 21 all the time. He was also wearing fancy sort of Ramone-style shoes.
What are Ramone-style shoes?
They're like Chuck Taylors.
Yeah.
But fancier? I don't know.
Okay. Well, did you say hi to him or you just stared at him?
I was a little bit scared. He was a little bit larger than life and a little bit less larger than life at the same time. I don't know. You see somebody shopping at Century 21 and you, I don't know, he was just a guy, with Ramone's hair.
Yeah, that's kind of what he is, I guess, when you think about it.
What else are you looking for from Marky Ramone? Yeah.
That was the fourth of those books, the guy with Ramone's hair. It was the girl with the dragon tattoo.
Yeah.
The unreleased book, the guy with Ramone's hair.
The girl with the pearl earring.
That was
never got a cut of the T-shirts, right?
What's that?
No, he never got a cut of the T-shirt.
I think Marky got Richie didn't get the T-shirt money. Yeah. That's why Richie quit.
Oh, sure.
Yes. Thanks for the call, buddy.
Thanks.
Yeah, Richie Ramone did not get a piece of the T-shirt money. Mike handed me who he thinks would have the worst iPods. Let's see. What is this now, Mike? It doesn't... John McLaughlin. You think the guy from... Oh, from the McLaughlin Group, not the guitarist.
I don't think he has an iPod, the guy from the McLaughlin Group.
Okay, my iPod has on it FKA Twigs.
FKA Twigs. He was just like, who loaded this stuff on my iPod? Mike says it would have John Philip Sousa and marching band music and ragtime. Yeah, like, okay, I would buy that. And then Eleanor Clift, also from McLaughlin Group. What is your?
He does things in batches.
Hey, what's your remote control broken? Mike's on a McLaughlin Group.
He binge watches the McLaughlin Group.
He's on a McLaughlin Jag out there. And she would have the Lennon sisters, the Andrews sisters, the McGuire sisters, and then Mahler's Fifth Symphony. I like it. I like it, Mike. You know what I watched the other day, Mike? I have still not seen Lawrence of Arabia. But you know what I did watch? Oh, a two Blu-ray set of Randy Macho Man Savage. There's a documentary on him. And then just all of his matches, like all his greatest matches. That guy. I like him. The late great. Some of the best interviews I've ever seen.
How do you follow up 30 VHS tapes of the Morton Downey Jr. show?
Well, simple. You go to, you go and you buy a two Blu-ray set of the best of Macho Man Randy Savage. There's no blooper reel on it, though. No, he was intense. He didn't crack up.
I'll tell you what, AP Mike. I'm coming for you, AP Mike. You gotta listen to me right now, AP Mike. You gotta hear what I'm saying, AP.
Is there any stuff from the Slim Jim era?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I tell you, if you were looking for a spokesman,
oh yeah,
man, he pushed that Slim Jim stuff like no, like
yeah.
They signed him for that Slim Jim thing. He's wearing Slim Jims to the wrestling match. He's got a hat that says Slim Jim on it. He's showing up at NASCAR things as Slim Jim as a logo on some dude's car. He show up at everything. Slim Jim got their money's worth out of Macho Man.
Yeah,
he's just like,
I tell you what, AP Mike. You hear me, AP Mike?
It'd be great to get Macho Man Randy Savage do like audible.com ads.
Everybody want to get books? If you can't read, you go to audible.com and you check it out. You see what the book you want to get. You get the book! Any book on any subject. Use offer code. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You want to get the Savage Cast? It's a Macho Man Randy Savage podcast.
This is assuming he's still alive. He's passed away, unfortunately.
Well, doesn't Dan Savage have a podcast? Like, yeah. Dan Savage and Macho Man Randy Savage.
Savage and Savage.
Savage and Savage.
They team up. That's like...
appeals to no one.
That's like a bad sitcom about like... we're pairing you two guys together to do a podcast. Like this failing podcast network.
Yeah. They pair up Dan Savage
and
Macho Man Randy Savage and Josh Gad.
You listen to me, Josh Gad. I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you the cream always rises to the top.
One of the best clips ever is him... Macho Man Randy Savage doing the thing with Mean Gene Okerlund was like, I'm here with Macho Man Randy Savage, and he's like,
I'm telling you, Mean Gene, Commissioner Gene Tunney, he's trying to put me down because...
And he has a creamer in his hand that he got from a table nearby.
Craft service.
Yeah. Has just coffee pot on it with
some
creamer.
Sanka, yeah.
He's got this creamer... and he just keeps going,
I'm telling you, the cream rises to the top.
And it is the most effective prop comedy I've ever seen in my life. It's the best prop comedy in history. That he's doing with a thing he grabbed from a table before he walked on the set.
5 seconds before. He said, oh, you know what? That'll work.
Oh, Macho Man. Randy Poffo. His dad was a pro wrestler. He was his brother. He got his brother in. Macho Man. Rest in peace. Still haven't watched. Here we go. Mike just cracked open his 19th Coors Light in honor of Macho Man. Sure, it's in honor of Macho Man. Who am I paying tribute to? What?
Who was he?
Who is he? Yeah. But you're just pouring, you're pouring one out down your throat. Let's pour some out. Best Show, you're on the air.
This is Dash from Elizabeth. I've got one for the topic.
What do you got?
Well, I'm so glad you brought up Macho Man Randy Savage, because I want to nominate Hulk Hogan for Worst Celebrity iPod.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan would have a terrible iPod.
It's a lot of, like, Bubba the Love Sponge podcasts. Yeah. It's like...
Yeah. That would be...
Go ahead.
No, I'm listening to you.
I feel like he'd have a lot of his own music on there.
And his daughters. Brooke. A lot of Brooke.
Then he would, like, ask his children, like, what cool stuff he should put on his
iPod. Hey, brother. Yeah. Nick, what are you listening to these days? Skrillex? Nick put a bunch of EDM on my iPod.
Load it up. Load it up, brother.
Hey, Hulkster, what's on your iPod?
Well, I'm glad you asked me, brother. My son Nick loaded it up. What do I got on here? It's got some Jimmy Buffett. Got Jimmy Buffett. About 12 gigs of Bubba the Love Sponge. Some demos my daughter just did. And then a DJ set, Nick's DJ set that's pre-recorded when he goes to DJ. Nick's pre-recorded DJ set. He uses my iPod as a backup.
Yeah. Remember when Hulk Hogan was in that movie?
Over the Top. Yep.
Wait, Over the Top is the arm wrestling.
That's the arm wrestling movie, right? Isn't that Stallone and Hulk Hogan?
Yeah, but the Hulk Hogan one is called No Holds Barred.
No Holds Barred, yeah.
Where he plays Rip.
Yep.
Not Riff Randall. No. And his acting is so bad in the movie that they show, you'll hear him talking, but they show people listening to him.
Right.
Say lines because they must have looked.
Just ADR'd.
And there's a point when he's in this French restaurant with Joan Severance. And he's saying to her, like there's this waiter who's like, we do not have the hot dog.
He's not used to being in a fancy restaurant.
Because that's what this guy pegs him as. But then Hulk shows him by speaking French. And by speaking French, I mean he says,
oui, j'ai faim.
Like that's
it. That's it.
Oui, j'ai faim.
You know the writer of that movie had it. There was a paragraph that was like, oh, this will be really great. This is a real set piece.
Yeah, Hulk turned it around on him. The snob thought he was didn't know anything about French food. He showed him by saying three words in French.
It's a classic snobs versus slobs scenario.
Oui, j'ai faim.
So, caller.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm great.
Excuse me for saying this. Did we talk yet? I can't remember anymore.
Very briefly.
You said you suggested Hulk Hogan.
I sure did.
Well, young man, you might go to the top of the list. I would say Hulk Hogan is the best one to date.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Oh, thanks for the call.
Thanks, brother.
Oui, j'ai faim.
Best Show, you're on the air.
This is Andrew from Humboldt.
Let's get some ladies in the mix here, too. We got a lot of, like, dudes are coming. Well, the calls are good tonight. I'll give it to the dudes. They're coming through.
Okay.
But let's mix it up. So what's your name, young man?
My name is Andrew.
Andrew, where are you calling from?
Humboldt County.
Humboldt County where?
Humboldt County, California.
Okay, you can't assume.
The only Humboldt County. I mean, there are many, but...
Oh, the world-famous Humboldt County. Yeah.
What am I, a map maker?
I mean...
A cartographer?
Pretty well known. I imagine you would...
Yeah. Best show, you're on the air. I'm like the two.
Hey, Tom, how's it going? It's Jonathan in Greenpoint.
Jonathan in Greenpoint, what's up?
Hi. I think that Tim Burton probably has the worst iPod.
Hmm. Well, I don't know. Like, what would be on Tim Burton's iPod?
I'm thinking probably just Oingo Boingo.
I don't think so.
I would disagree with that.
I think he's probably got like there's Amanda Palmer records on there. Or
sure.
Like Beach House. Like, he's like sort of like, he knows what's going on. It's just not.
It's all circus ska.
It's all what?
And children's choirs.
No, you're nuts. Sorry. Goodbye. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, it's Alex in Boston.
Alex?
Yes.
In Boston. Who do you have for the worst celebrity iPod, Alex?
I have Guy Fieri.
Guy Fieri's almost too easy of one.
You
justify it.
I think that there would not be a song on there that would not have...
Oh, wait. No, sorry. I'm sorry. I'm not doing the top one. Okay. Sorry. I know you with your axe to grind, Pat. I thought this was all of it.
Oh, no. No.
I'm trying to navigate a career here, buddy.
Yeah. Tom's trying to stay in show business.
Yes. So, go ahead. Guy Fieri. Who's on Guy Fieri? Look, obviously Smash Mouth is on there because he's friends with that guy, and he is that guy. Right?
Essentially, definitely Smash Mouth, Sugar Ray, pretty much anybody that McGee has done a video for.
Somebody wants... Right, he's got All-Star on there. Probably some live Smash Mouth. Some Smash Mouth B-sides.
Oh, you know, and that Monkey's cover he did for the Shrek movie.
There's Smash Mouth, Smash Mouth doing Soul Kitchen by the Doors.
Wait, they did?
I'm just guessing. Oh. Seems like something.
That seems like the perfect. Yeah. Let me sleep all night in your soul kitchen.
Yeah, yeah.
The other thing is, my wife told me that he emceed an event for the Duck Dynasty guys putting on some sort of musical.
Wow.
He emceed. Guy Fieri.
Black tie.
Emceed an event with the Duck Dynasty guys.
The Harvard Club.
For a musical that one of them is making.
A Duck Dynasty musical.
Yeah, no. So maybe he has like a soft spot for Bad Country or something.
Duck Dynasty musical.
Beautiful event.
Yes.
Sponsored by the Harvard Lampoon.
Yeah. the Hasty Pudding.
The Hasty Pudding. Man of the Year.
Duck Dynasty crew through. Right? They bring them on campus. Whatever those Hasty Pudding guys do. We're making you Man of the Year. Okay, great. You making fun of me? What's going on here, guys? You laughing at me? I can take. If you are, just say it. Yeah. I can take it. Duck Dynasty. Those guys had their 15 minutes of hate speech. Right? We've all, they're on their way with, 10 years from now, it's going to be those guys. It's going to be Les from Hardcore Pawn. Mm-hmm. I watched 2 episodes of Hardcore Pawn the other night. This guy Les, the main guy from it, who looks like the Crypt Keeper from Tales from the Crypt. In a cheap leather jacket. That guy is such a creep. I could not imagine negotiating. Could you imagine negotiating one? It would hurt me. I would be so physically ill from what it would take to just like beat someone down in terms of just like, guy has a car. Like, this guy brings this car that Les is just like this is the greatest car I've ever seen in my life. If I can get this car from this guy, I'm not even selling. I'm taking it home. Guy's like, it's like, how much you want for it? Guy's like, $45,000. Les is like, I'll give you $20,000. Like, he knows it's like, he knows he's ripping the guy off.
Yeah.
Like, he's saying this is the greatest thing he's ever seen, but he still will rip the guy off on it and hope he gets him in a moment of just sadness and desperation. Let me find out how desperate this guy is to move this car, how bad he needs this money. The thing he said was the greatest car he's ever seen. Caller. Is there even a caller here? Oh, yeah. What's up, buddy?
Not much. Yeah, that's all I got. Thanks.
Well, thank you for the call.
All right.
We got to get more weirdos involved in the show.
Yeah.
More weirdos calling 201-332-3484. I want weirdos, man. Put the number on Twitter. Put the number all around. Just tell weirdos to start calling this thing. Not too weird, though. No, within the bounds of weirdo-ness. Line two? Mike said line two. Best show, you're on the air.
I'll try to be worthy of that.
You're not weird. You sound perfectly normal.
Yeah, with the exception of some wildlife in my throat, I'm normal.
Okay. Wildlife in your throat? What does that mean?
Oh, no, just scrocky. It's allergy season.
Okay. It is. What are you susceptible to?
Non-indigenous vegetation.
Okay. How about pet dander?
We try to keep that down. Mm-hmm. We have our cats regularly shaved, and I know that sounds kind of odd back east, but they love it.
That's fine. I know friends who shave their cats.
Yeah.
Weird patterns. Make their cat look
none of that.
With the Batman symbol?
Or they make their cat look like the half, like one of those animals, like when on Daffy Duck when he got drawn half as another thing with a beak on him.
Screwball.
Duck amuck.
Yeah,
duck amuck. What is your name, caller?
BB.
BB. Where are you calling from, BB?
Las Vegas.
Las Vegas. How long have you been in Las Vegas?
Since 2008.
Do you like it?
I love it here.
Are you like the Killers? You like those guys? Or that like you proud of them?
And Imagine Dragons and
Jerry Tarkanian.
Hamstown.
So you got Jerry Tarkanian, Imagine Dragons, and the Killers.
I have to take my hat off for Tark.
Tark, the late great.
Yeah.
Jerry Tarkanian, biting that towel. Remember he'd bite that towel when the games would be close?
Yeah. What? Yeah, they were riding a bummer when he passed here for about a week.
Because he coached for Fresno State after UNLV, right?
Oh, good heavens. I don't know about his trajectory after that.
Okay.
Or prior to that.
So tell me more. Tell me, do you have something for the topic, or are you just calling in? What do you have, BB?
Well, first of all, Randy Savage. I saw him before he passed. But I saw him on panel at when Bill Maher was doing Politically Incorrect in Manhattan.
If Bill Maher had Randy, Macho Man Randy Savage was on Politically Incorrect?
What?
Yeah. He was on panel with Polly Draper, Leo Biscaglia, and maybe Jonathan Katz.
Are you sure that you're... Are you sure this is not some fever dream you had? That sounds like a fantasy.
I had evidence. I had a videotape from it. Unfortunately, it got recorded over.
Leo Biscaglia. Yeah. Macho Man Randy Savage. And who else?
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Katz.
Polly Draper from 30-something. And Jonathan Katz from Dr. Katz.
Right.
All on the show. Bill Maher going, people. This.
Exactly.
It's religion's a fairy tale. Like, wait, where do you stand on religion again? I missed the first 800,000 times you said it's a fairy tale. Please.
Yeah.
Can you go into that more?
Oh, yeah. I tell you, Bill Maher, I'll tell you what. If you don't believe in the afterlife.
What is Jonathan Katz doing during that conversation?
Yeah. So, you were at that? You just bought tickets to it?
No, it was free. We just called up, and I went up with a couple of friends when I was living in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Take a road trip up to New York, catch taping?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you know who the guests were going to be beforehand, or?
Not in advance, no. I had no idea. They did two tapings, and the other panel was, I'll try to get every, it was Jeremy Piven, mm-hmm. Laura Ingram. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Jeremy Piven, Laura uh-huh. Ingram.
Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker.
Oh, I wish I could remember the other two. I'm okay. Afraid it escapes me. But they were just as crazy.
I love that. And, BB, I want to tell you this. Please keep calling the show. You're a great caller.
Why, thank you.
So do you have something for the topic?
Yeah, the only thing about the worst iPod, I got to say, man, Ann Romney.
Ann Romney would have a truly terrible. Yeah. Although, mm-hmm. did you watch that documentary on Mitt Romney, the one that was on Netflix that came out after the election?
I've been meaning to. I can kind of curious about it. I don't know if my roommate can handle it, but I've been wanting to watch it because it. I understand it's a whole different perspective.
There's a point. Yeah, they show him. I am not joking now at all. He's sitting around with his kids, like before one of the debates or something. And what are they listening to laughing at? David Sedaris.
Oh, my God.
No.
I'm telling you, they were it was.
That's lovely.
Yeah, it was bonkers. Like, they're just listening to a date. I think one of the Christmas things is what they were listening to. And they're just
really?
Like.
Really? I would. Man, if it was the rooster.
And they're just, like, loving it.
So, like, on Ann Romney's iPad is, like, Sarah Vowell audiobooks?
Yeah, she could just have, like, the, Ann Romney's iPod suddenly, on second thought, might not be that bad. I would bet hers seems like it would, she seems like she'd be just like, that stuff you guys like, I don't know. Maybe not, though. Maybe she's the one that got him into David Sedaris. Maybe she's saying, you should check out Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Mitt. Hey, Mitt, do you want to get a message? Carl Castle will, if you do this, Carl Castle will leave an answering machine message for one of our 19 mansions. But then again, if she is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me on her iPod, she does have a terrible iPod. So we're back to that.
You never know. One parent has to at least give those kids a shot.
I don't know what to think now. I could go either way on Ann Romney's iPod.
Mm-hmm.
Well, BB, one thing I'm not going to go either way on is you being a regular caller. Please keep calling.
Thanks.
I really.
I want to tell Mr. Froglinist.
Yes.
You got that wipeout laugh down cold. Man.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, from the intro to the song. That was my father. My father actually recorded the intro to the song Wipeout.
You're serious.
You could be pulling
totally
my leg.
Serious.
You're not. It's not. That's not him laughing, though.
It's my father in the beginning of.
No.
He goes,
how did I not know this? What are you? This is like Morton Downey Jr. level.
Yeah.
I did 80 different things. You're serious.
I'm not serious.
No, I didn't think so. I was like, what? I will say this, though, BB. You know, the first, like, I used to watch Jake on Score TV.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Oh, he cursed also.
So
come
sorry.
On. I used to watch Jake on this show, Squirt TV, when he was 15 years old, right? And then my friends and I went to the movies in Midtown, New York, and we go to see the movie Scream 3.
Opening day.
opening weekend.
Dark time
we're
in
there.
Everybody's life.
Yeah, we're seeing Scream 3 in theater. And movie starts, and there's this cackle going out throughout the theater. And I, about halfway through the movie, I said to my friend, I think it's that, you hear that laugh? I think it's that kid from Squirt TV. And then he's like, yeah, I think you're right. And then we went, the movie's over, we hurried into the lobby and stood there, watched everybody leave, and we saw Jake leave. We're just like, it was the kid from Squirt TV. And then a year later, I met you at the UCB Theater and then became friends with you. So, but that's...
I would love to know what I was laughing at in Scream 3.
Scream 3. I don't know.
Like, what elicited me to...
Roaring. Really roar, at the top
roar
of your lungs.
With laughter.
Yeah. So, somebody from...
Skeet Ulrich, maybe?
Skeet Ulrich.
Yes.
The comedy stylings of Skeet Ulrich.
Skeet Ulrich.
May your sister share a bunk bed with Skeet Ulrich. May a diseased yak introduce you to Skeet Ulrich. At the prom.
Well, thank you, BB. I appreciate the call.
Take care of yourself, sir.
Oh, thank you. That's the nicest thing.
Finally.
Take care of yourself. Finally, somebody cares. Thank you. All right, bye. That was a good call, right, Mike?
Yeah, that's why I said it, too.
Yeah, you did, I got to say. The steady hand of AP Mike guiding the calls. It's like a captain out there. Right? Captain Ahab. It's like Captain Ahab with a phone. That's kind of how it goes when you're in the world of AP Mike. And guys, I want to tell you that you're listening to The Best Show. How do you support The Best Show? Why, it's easy. You go to thebestshow.net. You load all the episodes up. You download them, you listen to them, you support the sponsors. If you're so inclined, you hear us mention this product, you support it and use the offer codes we give out. We've got a box set out over at numerogroup.com, Best of the Best Show. It's everybody's favorite thing. It's got a hardcover book, 16 CDs, USB drive. It's a masterwork. Super proud of it. Sharpling and Worst are playing live in Nashville in May at Third Man Records. Tickets are selling fast. It will sell out. You can go to thirdmanrecords.com to get more info on that. And it is, we are going to record a live album at that show. So don't miss that if you are in Nashville. A lot of ways to support The Best Show. And that is what I ask of you, my friends.
Frankie Teardrop, 20-year-old Frankie. He's married, he's got a kid, and he's working in a factory. He's working from 7 to 5. He's just trying to survive. Volunteer for Frankie. Frankie, Frankie.
I want to get it. Do you want to need it? I'm going to have it. Who's going to have it? Your lady needs to get it. You're going to give it. I need it in the morning. I need it in the evening. I got to get it when I'm on a picnic. And ladies, you know you want to give it up. You got to give it up.
Oh, I want to take this time, and I mean this sincerely. This comes from me and everybody involved. But I want to thank everybody for supporting the movie Grandma's Boy.
Yeah!
I know people could, blacks could feel, what is, I'm not a racist. That's what's so insane about this. I don't, and yet it's said, it comes through, it fires out of me. And even now in the passion and the that's here as I confront myself.
It's a lot.
Laughs, 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 la So first question, right off the bat, saw it on Twitter yesterday. We shoot Clerks 3 in May, hit somebody shoot September through Christmas. In February, doing Moose Jaws, but after that, I Smell a Rat. Mall Rat sequel, yes or no?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, that was the first time I said it. Yeah. That's what we're working on.
And so how far along is it in production, or is it just in early stages?
It's half a script right now, and we're pulling our loot together. I mean, we've got, you know, up until the beginning of 2016.
So we'd shorten the sleeves with safety pins and rubber bands. So if
puppy dogs.
Seat of a 56 Ford at a drive-in movie, sliding over toward a girl in shorts and knocking a little on a bench seat my gear shift in the middle. She was young and eager. It didn't take much to slip her in gear and let out the clutch, but the beautiful bench where we performed our feats has been replaced by two bucket seats. And the brake lever, gear shift, an armrest between me and the girl I love best. such a sensitive. Bird of prey, bird of prey, flying high, flying high in the summer sky. Bird of prey, bird of prey. Tell them you came and saw and looked into my eyes and saw the shadows of the guard receding. Thoughts in time and out of season. The hitchhiker stood by the side of the road and leveled his thumb. Winter photography, our love's in jeopardy. Winter photography, our love's in jeopardy. Sit up all night, talking, smoking, count the dead and wait for morning. Tell them you came and saw and looked into my eyes and saw the shadows of the guard receding. Thoughts in time and out of season. The hitchhiker stood by the side of the road and leveled his thumb in the calm calculus of reason. Then a car. Why does my mind circle around you? Why do planets wonder what it would be like to be you? All your soft, wild promises were words, birds endlessly in flight. Your dog is still lost in the frozen woods, or he would run to you. How can he run to you, lunging with blooded sickness on the snow? He's still sniffing gates and searching strangers for your smell.
Was that promise that you made? Why won't you tell me what she said? What was that promise that you made? Now I'm gonna love you till the heavens stop the rain. I'm gonna love you till the stars fall from the sky. For you and I,
our love's in jeopardy.
Come on, come on. Stronger than dirt.
Oh, what'd you think about that, Mike? You like that, huh? You never thought you'd hear you dropped into touch me.
If you were to tell me that, you know what? We need to release the isolated tracks, the backing tracks, and Jim Morrison's isolated vocals. That's a good thing that should be out in society. I would have at first said, no, we don't need that. But it came in to good use.
Well, if you're not sure, if you were wondering why I didn't sleep, it's because I spent all night and I could not stop. Once I started getting into Touch Me with all of the versions of it, I could not stop. And I think it might be my favorite song, first of all, now. And I think I get what makes it, what makes people like Jim Morrison now, even though it's terrible.
You've descended into madness.
I think I kind of get it now.
At 3 a.m. when you're driving, Touch Me, alternative vocal mix into GarageBand.
Yeah. And I'm just
it
like,
all clicked for you.
Well, here we go. Like, well, I spent 2.5 hours cutting together that loop of come-ons. Oh, well, here's the actual original instrumental track.
That is actually, there's elements of it that are beautiful.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's really great.
So, yeah, we're here with on the best show with Jake Folemest. It's great to have you here. I should tell everybody, Jason Gore, the studio dude, the dudio.
Hard pass.
Hard pass, exactly. That's a hard pass.
No.
He's been doing a show with Kristen Bartlett, his wife. I can say that, right? Well, I just did. But the two of them have been doing a show called Dead Dad's Club at the UCB Theater in this Friday, the UCB Theater in New York. At UCB Chelsea, at the final Dead Dad's Club on April 24th at 7:30. That's the final show. Show's great. You got to check it out if you want to. You know, it's seriously great. I loved it. And you should go see it if you are in New York. We're talking about the worst celebrity iPod. How do I get nominated for a Peabody Award for this show, though? Seriously. Like, I saw, like, perfectly good things getting nominated. I'm just like, and then I looked at like the Peabody, the committee. And I'm just like, yeah, this show's never forget. Move on to your next flight of fancy, Tom. That, oh, the committee. I'm just telling you, look at that committee and it's just like, it's like, I don't know. Like, it looks like a meeting of the elbow patch, jacket society. Like, they would get they'd have a Groupon. It was only these people got together because they bought because they used a Groupon for, elbow patches for their tweed jackets. So what else? You did the Folemest Files, your podcast.
Yes.
Is that show, DOA? Not DOA. It was not Dead on Arrival. You did a ton of episodes of it. It was one of my favorite podcasts.
Thank you.
You pulled the plug on it, though.
I feel bad about how that went down, but I just got very, very busy,
mm-hmm.
very quickly, and something had to give.
Sure.
And so I'm going back to Los Angeles. What I'd like to do, because I'd like to keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm kind of formulating a plan to bring it back, maybe as a limited thing. At some point, I have more episodes that I'd like to do, but right now, it's on the back. The backburn.
Oh, yeah, you're working on stuff, and you got to work on the stuff that you can do the show again. It's something that is not, it's not time sensitive.
No, that was sort of by design. It was just sort of like, you know, like, no, let me have a conversation with this person and some mm-hmm. things that I think that they would be interested in or relevant to their career. And as the show sort of evolved, it got more fun to have like sort of these in-depth you know, interviews with clips where I take people through their career. That was where I started to really enjoy.
That is one of my favorite things about it, is that you found some interesting people who don't normally get that kind of treatment in terms of looking at their career and exploring the different things that they did and adding it all up to see what it means as a career. Like you did Alan Arkush.
Alan Arkush. That was so much fun because that was just somebody who was like, well, he's done all these interesting things. Like he directed Rock and Roll High School and he directed the Andy Kaufman movie, Heartbeats.
Yeah.
But who's going to sit down with Alan Arkush for an hour and a half?
Yeah, and go through what it was like going from this thing to this thing to this thing and all the stuff. Yeah, so it was that. I you know I'm a fan of it, and then I look forward to when you have room for it, you do it.
There's something in my head right now. I saw a Shout Factory thing, and I said, oh, well, that's worth, I don't care what I'm doing, that's worth bringing it back.
Sure.
So maybe this summer I'll record some stuff, and it'll come back. It will.
Yes. People can they follow you at Twitter. They'll find out all about what the plans are with it. At Jake Fogelnest. Let's go back to the phones and see what people are saying, if they've got worse celebrity iPod concept. Somebody just said that the Kim Fowley show you did was great.
I'm so glad I did that.
That was one of the craziest ones.
I went to his West Hollywood apartment, and he was there with a nurse, and then just two women. That one of them was the fabulous Miss Wendy. I walk in and say, this is the fabulous Miss Wendy. This is Lady Satan. He's in a hospital bed.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, all right, I guess this is what I'm doing for the next 3 hours.
Yeah.
This is the world that I'm in.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I loved it. Best show, you're on the air. Oh, hold on. I'm sorry.
South Bend, Indiana.
Sorry, I'm bringing you up. I had you potted down, Chief. Who is this?
William in South Bend, Indiana.
William, what's going on tonight?
I'm watching the streaming Dallas and Rockets game.
You're streaming the Dallas Mavericks playing the Houston Rockets. Game two.
Game two, yeah.
Let me see if I can guess. I don't know the score. I'm going to guess. Going out on a limb here. Are the Mavericks in lead?
They're not.
They're not. Is it a rout?
No, 5-point spread.
Spread? What are you, a bookie?
Yeah, I wish.
I wish. Geez. Keep shooting for the stars, buddy. Just keep those dreams alive. Someday, you play your cards right, you can become a bookie. So what quarter are we in?
Fourth quarter, a couple minutes in. Jay Smoove just made a layup.
Wait, who did?
Josh Smith,
J-Smooth. Okay, look, okay. I'm not a huge Josh Smith.
J.B. Smooth?
His nickname is J-Smooth.
Yes, and I thought his nickname was Mr. I make teams better after I leave. Right?
Yeah,
well. Mr. Teams are always better after I'm traded off of them.
Yeah.
Check those Hawks out. See how that's going.
Yeah.
So what's up, buddy? What do you got for me?
So I got two suggestions for the terrible celebrity iPods.
Let's hear it.
Number one, John Malkovich.
I would bet John Malkovich would at least know enough people. He'd have some good classical music on there.
You think?
I think he would
listen to, like, Wyndham Hill.
No,
I would. I think you're off base on that one.
I think he has somebody loaded up, and he's just like, just put a variety of things on it. And...
Yeah. That. I think he has it in him to hear, to pay attention to interesting things. Mm.
Have you seen his clothing line?
Is it flowing? I bet you it's strangely flowing, isn't it?
No, it's angular, kind of Germanic.
Okay, well, then maybe he's got some Neue
on there.
It's
literally called something like modern bohemian or something.
Okay, well, look, I'm going to say of all the people who could have a terrible iPod, he's not one of them.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Who else? Who else do you think? Who?
You made me think of this. Skrillex.
Again, I think he likes.
He listens to those like sample CDs all day. It's like all he's listening to.
It's just, I think he's using his iPod for professional reasons. It's not my taste, but.
And I think he knows.
Yeah.
Good enough. He's like dudes like that who are looking for samples and stuff everything. All the time. Yeah.
Although I had a theory that Questlove,
mm-hmm.
who is a musicologist, yes, you yes. know, and like knows everything about it. I have this theory that he has a terrible iPod. And the reason why mm-hmm. is because it's too obscure. There's no hits on it. He's yeah. too far down the rabbit
sure,
hole.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That it's like if you want you want to hear a Stevie Wonder song? Well, this is something from an album from 1971. It's like the third track that nobody cares about.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
it's just filled
yeah.
with that.
Or like a lot of prints from the last 5 years.
5 years, yes. Yeah.
yeah like, oh, boy.
The Jungle Fever soundtrack.
No,
that's good.
That's
you goon. Goodbye, that guy. You ever see when Prince is, like, on, like, Saturday Night Live or something, you're just like, oh, no. Oh, my God. Here comes Prince. He's tearing it up on the guitar. He's killing it. He doesn't have any songs. And you're just like,
yeah.
The world's most talented human...
Could not be a better guitar player.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Except when it comes to writing songs anymore.
Yeah. Just like, and like, if you go see him live, like, I saw Prince live, and it's, he walks out on stage, and I know, I'm at a Prince concert, I know it's going to be Prince coming out yeah. on stage, and he walks out, and I see him, and I go, oh my God, it's Prince, like, because it's weird.
You're in the same building
You're in
the
same
guy.
Building as
it's
Prince.
Surreal.
And then he comes out and proceeds to play... four songs that are all 30 minutes long.
Uh-huh.
And then he, like, play Raspberry, play Bat Dance. Do yeah. something that I know.
Bat Dance would be pretty awesome.
That'd be pretty great. And then he plays one familiar thing.
Uh-huh.
And it's The Glamorous Life by Sheila E. That's the bone that he threw the audience. He's like, all right, I'll give you The Glamorous Life.
Come on, Prince. And you're seeing a guy who's just like, this guy is, again... as talented as you could be.
Yeah.
But then it's just like...
He won't give it to us.
Any chance somebody else could write a set list for this dude? Like, is not the set list we want tonight.
If he came out and played Let's Go Crazy, people would love it.
Yeah. What's that? Mike saw the Greatest Hits tour that Prince did. And it was Mike said it was phenomenal to see him play the hits. I'm sure it was amazing.
Because he played the greatest hits.
Yeah, he didn't play everything but the greatest hits.
It's like the Crystal Ball. That's no.
Yeah. Best Show, you're on the air.
I have a bad celebrity iPod.
Okay.
I think Pete Holmes would have an iPod that would be insufferable for most of humanity.
Okay, I might go along with you on that. I don't know. I don't know Pete Holmes. I don't know what music he likes.
No, not music. I think it would be filled with only the most hip, edgy, progressive, evangelical Christian thinkers.
Okay.
Just hours of sermon.
Why is that? Is that his scene? I don't know his scene.
Well, there's a Christian tinge to him.
I think he's just spiritual. I think he's got some Joel Osteen. You know, tapes.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's Christian. And if it is, so what?
He's getting pumped up to Joel Osteen.
Yeah.
You know, the guy Crank, J.O., when I'm at the...
Joel Osteen's too mainstream.
Look, it sounds like you got an axe to grind. And that's from the guy who has an axe to grind.
Built the axe.
That's from the guy... that's from a guy who's got an axe with the names of eight different comedians carved into
the Nerdist logo
yeah,
on it.
Exactly. Yeah, and I'm just like, yeah, this guy's laying it on a little thick. There's an elegance to it, my friend. Consider a sound collage next time.
Yeah.
It goes down a lot easier that way. Look, I got no bone. Look, this is how I feel about things. This is the truth. Anybody does whatever they want to do. If you're not hurting anybody, more power to you. But I'm here on this island, man. I'm scrapping and scraping for every crumb I got. And anytime I put down these guys like that, all I'm doing is throwing rocks at the throne. I'm just an animal on the street here. I'm like the Count of Monte Cristo. Right, Mike? Mike doesn't even know what I'm talking about. I'm like, look, Count of Monte Cristo, I read 10 pages of it. I know what I'm talking about. I read the foreword and then 10 pages. So I'm going to talk with authority about it.
Count of Monte Cristo is number 47 on that list Mike gave you earlier.
He might be. Yeah. Count of Monte Cristo. So, I got no beef with anybody. Everybody just do your thing. I've seen more episodes of At Midnight than I have The Wire. So, who am I to talk? But I'm here. I'm a lowly peasant. Lowly peasant who sunk his life's fortune into building a studio. And now here I am. Where we've got it's like a boat leaking money, and all I got is an AP mic and the Dudio staring at me. I don't know where I'm going with this, but no, we're scrapping and scraping here, man. We're coming up. Started at the just like Drake said, started at the bottom, but we're not here yet. We're not playing shows for $500,000. Can you imagine that?
No.
Do you think that, like, there's got to be a thing where, like, some hip-hop guy brags on a thing, and then just, like, somebody at the IRS is just like,
yeah.
Hey, you know what we should look into? Is this guy who says he gets paid $500,000 every time he does a concert. Let's take a look at his,
let's
check
pull the books on Lil Wayne.
Yeah, exactly.
I just read on TMZ that Lil Wayne has made a deal with a weed dispensary. He was spending $500,000 in cash on weed. Hey, let's look into his books.
Hey, why don't we check this guy out? I bet you there might be something there. This guy's sure getting a little braggy about how much money he's got. I'm gonna pull that file, the Lil Wayne file. But yeah, I don't care. I'm just here. This is nothing. We're on an island, not a part of no network. We're fighting
that
for every...
guy called up to poke.
Every listening. Poking the bear. Poking the bear in the cage. I almost said the gorilla. I'm not a gorilla. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Jake. It's Sean in Orange County.
Sean in Orange County. What's up, Sean?
All right. Well, I went to the season opener of the L.A. Kiss.
Oh, wow.
The L.A. Kiss, which is... the Kiss's arena football team.
Which is actually in Orange County in Anaheim.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're L.A. Kiss.
How'd you get tickets?
A buddy of mine has season tickets.
A buddy of yours has season tickets?
And he couldn't go. So he gave them to me.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find anybody to go, so I went alone.
Wow.
I love this friend of yours who bought season tickets to the thing, but didn't go to the opener, right?
Well, not many people did go. The stadium was maybe a third
filled. Oh, don't worry. I watched the game on ESPN2, my friend. It was on a Saturday night.
Before the game even starts, though, they have on the big projector over the field, "You're on national TV."
And then it says, wait, I just got word. No, you're not. They've switched over to baseball bloopers.
Yeah, you're on ESPN2 and the streaming service.
You're on ESPN2.com.
Yeah, not even ESPN.com. So what do you got for the thing, buddy? You got anything for the topic? Or you just you're
in
LA.
I would say Donald Trump would have the worst iPod.
See, I would think Donald Trump, he might be out of touch with what's on his iPod, but it seems like one that would be loaded with people who've, like,
been on The Apprentice.
Who've been on The Apprentice or played his venues,
mm-hmm.
like played the casinos and things.
Like, his iPod is basically up for sale.
Yes, exactly. Thank you for the call. And let's go L.A. Kiss, right? We're going to cheer them on next year?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The season's probably starting soon, right?
No, it's already started.
Oh, excuse me.
No, I went to, that was the opener.
Oh, you went to this season's opener. Yeah, I'm talking about the inaugural season.
Oh, no, this past season. It was not this weekend, but the past weekend.
All right. Calm down. Jeepers creepers, man. Guy getting all twisted. L.A. Kiss completist there. Something else I want to tell you guys about. You all know Pat Byrne. He's been a huge part of the best show, doing what we do every week, and I thank him for that. Thank you, Pat. He didn't literally answer. But Pat does a show he's also on WFMU, or he's primarily on WFMU. He does a show on Saturday nights on FMU called Prove It All Night, and they do live shows at WFMU's live studio, which I refuse to say the name of. It's the live facility. You go to WFMU.org to find out the address and all the ticket information and everything for that. It's this Saturday, April 25th, Prove It All Night is live. And it's at 9 p.m. Doors are tickets $5. The show will have Christian Finnegan, who's really funny, Brett Davis, who's really funny, Eliza Hurwitz, who's really funny, and music from Overlake. And it's a great show. I've done the show. You've done the show,
yeah,
Jake.
It's so much fun.
Yeah, Pat's a great host. So if you're in New Jersey or New York, go to a live show at WFMU's live space.
That place should be called the Tom Sharpling Memorial Auditorium.
Memorial? I'm not dead.
The Tom Sharpling Amphitheater.
Amphitheater. Prove It All Night this Saturday. Go to WFMU.org for more information. It'll be a great show, Pat. All right, we only have like 15 or so minutes left here with Jake Fogelman. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. I'm so excited to be here, and this is great. The studio's amazing.
Thank you. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
Bob from New Orleans.
Bob from New Orleans. What's up tonight?
What's
in
up?
New Orleans? Right? Goodbye, your phone stinks. Best Show, you're on the air.
Good evening, Tom. It's Angus from Edinburgh in Scotland.
Angus?
Yes, how are you?
Where are you, sir?
Edinburgh in Scotland.
Edinburgh in
yes.
Scotland, which is the town where the festival happens every year, the comedy festival.
Yes, comedy and clowns and jazz music and lots of things for middle-class bankers.
Wait, did you say clowns?
Yes.
Clowns?
You get a lot of clowns during the festival. It's just a thing.
They give the Perrier Award to a clown ever? Like, because that's what you win, right? The Perrier Award. Do you like when that festival takes over your town?
I moved here a year and a half ago, and I'm from a village of 400 people, so the first time it was quite exciting.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of people have a lot of fatigue associated with it, but it's quite fun.
And, like, at this thing every year, do you feel that sometimes you get these comedians that are just doing their act, and then they kind of just, like, add, like, a theme to it to try to make, like, it's a one-man show? You know what I mean?
Oh, definitely. There's a lot of that.
They're like, growing up was difficult where I was from, and then they just do their stand-up, and they're just like, so that's what it was like growing up.
Like, the storyline you think about afterwards and think, that didn't really hold together.
Yeah. But you, anyway. What shows have you seen there that you've loved? What are your favorites?
I really liked Eddie Pepitone last year.
We call him Anderson. Eddie. Is Eddie Pepitone?
Eddie Pepitone.
He's great.
I realized that as soon as I said that. Who else have I seen? Who else was good last year? David O'Doherty.
And Eddie Pepitone is great. So yeah,
I am so happy that Eddie has like found. that people in the UK and Scotland like love Eddie Pepitone, and they should. And they should love him here, too.
Somebody in the chat, and I find this personally offensive, young man. What's your name again?
Angus.
Angus. They want to know if you'll say, feed your lawn, feed it. But I'm not going to make you say it. Do you know that commercial?
I don't know.
There's a commercial here for, like, Scott's lawn stuff. That okay. And there's, like, there's a guy, like, don't say it. This guy should be ashamed of himself. So I apologize for that. So what do you have, buddy?
I have one for the topic, if there's time.
Let's hear it.
Russell Brand.
It's a lot of the Smiths, a lot of Morrissey.
See, I think he might end up with a pretty good one.
Yeah. A lot of Pete Doherty, probably. All that
baby
stuff.
Baby Shambles.
Baby Shambles, Libertines.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all that.
I got Baby Shambles on here. He's like a lot of in it, right?
It's iPods filled with Baby Shambles, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I think he would probably end up with a pretty good one, just because if you're like in England, you could probably trip over some pretty good music.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even mean you have exquisite taste, but you end up, it's like, man, not bad.
I just like the idea that he's got 3 hours of Mongolian throat singing on there or something along those lines.
He's probably got one of the more pretentious iPods, but.
And there's transcendental meditation stuff on there for sure.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. And his own audio book.
Yeah. So. My Bookie Wook.
Yeah. My Bookie Wook, which I read.
I read My Bookie Wook.
Yes. Surprisingly.
I kind of like Russell Brand, I'll be honest.
Okay. Well, I thought it was a good
book. I kind of like him and hate him at the same time.
Brand X was a misfire.
I might feel the same way. I kind of like him, but it's like.
Small doses.
He's doing his own thing.
Small doses. That's exactly what it is. Well, Angus, thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
What was it? Mow your lawns? What was the line?
No, don't. I'm not even going to make it. Look, it's feed your lawn, feed it. But it's up to you. Optional whether you want to say it. I'm saying don't, but it depends if you want to be a total clown. Don't do it.
Edinburgh makes sense.
Don't do it. All right. Thanks, buddy. Take care.
Night.
Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, host. This is 80s Rick out in Newbridge.
80s Rick in Newbridge.
Yeah.
What's up, 80s Rick? It's been a long time.
It's been a long time, right? I think the last time I talked to you, you had the girl from Till Tuesday on.
Yes, Amy Mann.
I was disappointed they weren't getting back together. She was hyping her own product.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Rather than the product you wanted.
The stuff that matters to everybody more.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, my question is actually for your guest, Mr. Fugelnest?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Jake Fugelnest.
Say it again?
Jake Fugelnest.
That's a stage name, right? Is that the stage name?
It's my real name.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool. Well, my question is two-pronged. One, I was wondering if there's any truth to these rumors that Roger Earle from Foghat is going to be taken over from Josh Priest when Devo goes out to play Smooth Noodle Maps in its entirety this summer?
I have not heard that. I'm a pretty big Devo fan. Smooth Noodle Maps, not one of their sort of more well-renowned albums, and I can't imagine that they would tour with that, and I don't understand why they would have Roger from Foghat take over for Josh Fries, a pretty solid drummer for them.
Yeah, I don't get it either. It was actually recorded in 89, but it came out in 90, so I have to be kind of into it, right?
Yeah. There's so much Devo throughout the 80s, you don't have to. I wouldn't focus on Smooth Noodle Maps.
Hey, well, look, I didn't make up the song. Well, they did.
Okay.
But why are you holding yourself to this 80s thing so stringently?
Because that's the best music ever that has been.
Well, except for this album, Smooth Noodle Maps.
Well, that's neither here nor there. Actually, I hope you can hear me right now. I'm actually standing outside of Haircut 100 Con.
Outside of what?
Haircut 100 Con. Why?
Wait, that's and I'm assuming Haircut 100 Con is some sort of convention for Haircut 100?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And guess who won the lottery to win Blair Cunningham's baseball cap?
You did, 80s Rick.
I did, yes. I'm wearing it now.
You're wearing Blair Cunningham from Haircut 100's baseball cap?
Yeah. Question for Jake Fugelnorst. What other band was he in?
I'm not sure.
Oh, Coast, do you know?
What other bands was Blair Cunningham in?
Yes.
He was in, it's on the tip of my tongue. Was he?
He was in the best version of what band?
The best version of
The Pretenders.
The Pretenders. Okay, there you go.
Yes. He was also in Echo and the Bunnymen, too.
Okay. And he took over for Pete?
You have a radio show and you think Pete Fondon was the drummer in The Pretenders?
No, it's Martin Chambers.
Yes.
But I know Martin Chambers has not always been in the studio with them.
I know. Look, don't bust my bees, okay? I'm still on this hat high.
This hat? You've got a hat high, yes, going on.
I do. Can I go to the second prong of my two-pronged question for
sure,
you?
Sure, go.
Fogelblork?
Fogelnest.
Fogelnest, yeah.
Not Fogelblork.
I wrote it down as you spelled it, and it still comes out really weird every time I says it. Was that Popeye?
Yeah. I mean, Popeye in that movie was from 80, I think. Yeah. So.
Yeah, yeah. You know where that was filmed?
Popeye?
Yeah.
In Ireland, I believe.
No, I think it was filmed on the Isle of Malta.
Oh, well, maybe. I don't know enough about Popeye trivia.
Yeah, yeah.
Google it.
Robert Evans and Harry Nilsson, and it was a really solidly healthy crew involved with that movie.
They like to get excited sometimes.
Yeah,
sure. Real natural high.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Can I get back to my question, please?
It's all yours, 80s Rick.
Look, hopefully you both can help me with this. I've been trying with no luck to find this duet that Cy Curnin from The Fix did with the Bee Gees in 1984. I'm sure you remember it. I'm almost positive it was on Spirits Having Flown, side one.
Okay.
It went something like this. Oh, girl, I tried to reach the beach, bitch, but your love was like rocks in my swimming trunks. I've been dead in the water since I saw you having sex with Wayne Shorter from Weather Report.
With Wayne Shorter from Weather Report.
Yeah.
And you got, it had Reach the Beach in there, which was a Fix album title.
Yeah, that's the Cy Curnin part of it.
Okay. Well, at least he brought his thing to the table. His part.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, 80s Rick. What?
Someone stole my hat!
Someone stole your hat?
Yes, and I'm looking at them running off with it. Hey, give it back. Oh, no.
What?
They took a squeege in it. Ew. I don't care. I'm still going to wear it. Anyone?
Oh, well, 80s Rick, I'm glad you got your hat back. I think he hung up.
Yeah.
Here we go. Oh. All right, we only have a few minutes left. Let's blast through these final calls, and then we will say goodnight to everybody here. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. This is Aaron in Austin.
Aaron in Austin, what's up, buddy?
I had a couple for the topic.
What do you got, real quick?
First is Phil Jackson.
Phil Jackson would have a pretty bad iPod. Probably current John Prine on it. Right?
Yeah. And also some of that transcendental meditative stuff. But
All that stuff.
All that stuff.
Transcendental meditative.
Mark Cuban.
Mark Cuban would have a lot of Ayn Rand stuff on there. Like,
is that his kind of thing?
I'm pretty sure he's a pretty big, yeah.
All right.
Thanks,
and
bye.
Like the Fabulous Thunderbirds.
And the, yeah. Bow, now, now.
Tough enough.
A lot of Kim... What was that guy, Kim Wilson, his solo album?
So, ZZ Top's Eliminator.
What era? How did that stuff in the 80s? Everybody's like, oh, the 80s is so superficial and all, like, oh, videos and all this. It's like, the Fabulous Thunderbirds were huge, one of the ugliest bands imaginable.
Yeah.
And Stevie Ray Vaughan was huge. It's just like this era, ZZ Top. This band had, some rough looking dudes. Like, they were huge. Like the Fabulous Thunderbirds. The guy was like, what in that crummy, those crummy Steve Harvey suits.
Yeah.
Like if Steve Harvey would cite Kim Wilson as his fashion icon. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, so this is Jordan from Seattle. My idea for the worst celebrity iPod is Michael Jordan.
That is a really good one. He'd have terrible music from his commercials on there. Right?
Yeah, and I figured he'd want to keep all the music from the 90s in his heyday.
90s R&B and mm-hmm. Vogue.
Yeah, but that's it. Like, he has nothing else on there.
Probably. Like, I agree. All right, buddy. That's a good one. Levert. Thanks.
Cool. Thanks.
No more calls, Mike. Well, these are the last three. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. How are you?
I'm good. I got to say, please, Mike. Please. I didn't mean to bark an order at you. I'll never hear the end of that. If I don't tack a please on there, it'll haunt about chase me like a bad penny. He didn't say please. What do you got, buddy?
Hey, I think I might have your worst iPod.
Who is it?
Pete Rose.
Yeah, Pete Rose. Although I can picture Pete Rose might just have some like hard rock on there.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm scared to know what it is.
Don't you picture Pete Rose having like
Rick
some...
Rick Derringer.
Yeah, like he'd have like... Yeah, he'd be like... Yeah, like Rick Derringer. And then like... He would probably be at like when he's at like a card show signing stuff and some guy gives it like, I'm in a band, I got a CD. And then like he would load that on his iPod.
Yeah.
He'd like, put this on the iPod. Put it on. Just be listening
to something. That sounds about right.
All right, thanks, buddy. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom's Jefferson from Texas.
Jefferson, okay, what do you got?
Quick one for the topic. Dean Norris.
Dean, I don't know. You think Dean Norris from Breaking Bad would have a bad iPod?
Yeah.
What would be on it?
Like a lot of, like, Wasp. Probably, like,
You might be right on that. He might have terrible 80s metal and, like Crocus. Like
Crocus, yeah.
Like, it's a problem on set. Like,
Damn Yankees.
Damn Yankees. Raven.
Damn Yankees.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jefferson. Final call. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, it's Chuck from Milltown.
What do you got, Chuck?
I would say John Travolta has the worst celebrity iPod.
Oh, I don't know. He's been on movies and stuff that have things, you don't think? What would be on it?
Well, I mean, I would say, it would be things from his movies, especially like ones that he danced to.
Mm-hmm.
Urban Cowboy.
But if he's got, that's not bad.
I think he's probably got, like, current stuff, too. Like, Alabama Shakes.
He would
I
have
could
that
see him
on.
Having he's some, got, like, New Agey stuff on there, too, because of the Scientology.
Sure, maybe. But he would, at least if he had the Pulp Fiction soundtrack on there, he's already better than some of these truly bad iPods.
But you're imagining him, like, dancing in his socks to that Chuck Berry song?
I mean, I wasn't until you said it.
Yeah, now that's all I can think of. 2015 John Travolta dancing to the Pulp Fiction soundtrack. All right, thanks for the call, buddy.
All right, you're welcome.
All right, fine. Best Show, you're on the air. Now, see, that's what I get. All right. Best Show, you're on the air real fast. What do you got?
Hey, I was thinking David Lynch would probably have the worst celebrity.
David Lynch would have a pretty good iPod.
Yeah, all those people showing up for the David Lynch Foundation, his iPod's probably cooler than anybody's.
Yeah.
No way.
I'm with you, Jake Fogelnest, at Jake Fogelnest. JakeFogelnest.com, is that a thing?
It's not a thing.
It's not a thing.
No.
Well, sounds like somebody might want to get over to register.
I think I have it registered. I just don't have it set up.
Okay.
I just decided I don't need that.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
It was so much fun having you here. And thank you for all the support you give the show.
It's my favorite thing in comedy. I say that to anybody who asks.
Well, I do appreciate it. And again, Dead Dad's Club this Friday, UCB Theater in Chelsea, 7:30 show. Final Dead Dad's Club. Check it out. That's Jason Gore. You get to meet the Dudio in person. And Pat Byrne doing Prove It All Night over at the WFMU venue in Jersey City this Saturday, 9 p.m. Christian Finnegan, Brett Davis, Eliza Hurwitz, and music from Overlake. You can find out information on that at WFMU.org. The box set over at numerogroup.com. Over at Stereo Laughs, we're selling posters. We have posters from the live shows that we had in New York and Chicago and L.A. The remaining posters we are selling at StereoLaughs.com. You go there, very limited edition on that. Sharpling and Worcester live in Nashville on May 16th at Third Man Records. You go to ThirdManRecords.com to find out more about that. And Best Show will be back next week. I'm going to leave you all with something from the Knots here. And thanks again, Jake, for coming down. Appreciate it so much. And we will talk to you next week.